On this episode of Pottages.
I don't know why you came here. A little girl is no use against Digimon.
You've been a fool, Zuchalmo.
Rio, you haven't changed either. You're still as annoying as ever.
Shining Digivolution!
I just wish you would talk to me, Jerry.
Your password.
You can use mine to get on the internet.
Pottages!
Welcome to Pottages, episode 310, Absolute Destiny Apocalypse.
Digital World, part 4.
Racist Digigod, D-Reaper Introduction, and Biomerge Character Development.
Recorded June 12, 2016.
Pottages is your critically nostalgic, analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by DigiGnome's Ashley McDonald.
Hey, Rio, I heard you were a wild one. Ooh. I don't know the rest of the words to that song.
And Asher Softman.
Zektai, Unme, Moku, Shiroku. Oh, also happy Shavuot.
And Andrew Softman.
I'm capturing the objective.
Is that a Destiny reference?
What? No.
Is it a Overwatch reference?
Yes.
Oh.
That was random. By the time this episode comes out, Overwatch will be like long dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh.
I mean, the last one we recorded, I recommended Orphan Black, and I'm like, oh god, Orphan Black's gonna be like so over by the time the episode comes out. Anyway.
Yep.
Topical gaming references.
It's not gonna die out that quickly.
Topical Hebrew holiday references.
This week we're looking at episodes 37 through 41.
In episode 37, Nomon is an island, aka Big Brothermon. The kids split up and ditch the side characters as they cross a bridge over troubled Digiwaters. Henry merges with original Lopmon to solve his anger issues by destroying the house of the Digigod of Racism.
In episode 38, Azulongmon explains it all, aka Azulongmon explains some of it. Zuchaomon chases the kids around in a yin-yang snow globe before he's interrupted by the ghost of 02 Exposition Past. The kids watch a lengthy presidential debate before Takato proves a point by showing off his interracial fusion. The ghost of Exposition Present drops by to fill in some gaps until he lags out.
In episode 39, Song of Sakuyamon, aka The Tale of Princess Sakuya, the kids get help from the Sovereign to try to save Kalumon from a lava lamp. Rika and Ryo climb down while the others go spelunking on Azulamong's beard. Ryo mourns the loss of his dual disc, and Rika jumps into a pit of death to avoid him, but accidentally fuses into the Shaman King.
In episode 40, John Yu's arc, aka John Yu of Arc, Beelzemon gets some Chrysalimon karma, and Kalumon unleashes a communist Digivolution revolution. The Monster Makers install a botnet to hijack thousands of computers so they can summon an Uber.
In episode 41, Homeward Bound, aka Homeward Bound, Gilmon wishes sentience into their Uber so they don't have to summon another one during surge pricing. Everyone reunites with their families except Immon and Jerry, who reunite with loneliness. Takato accompanies Jerry on a 3-hour train ride and confesses his feelings, and in return, Jerry reads him some nutritional information. Tokyo installs a giant lava lamp, and still, no one has noticed Jerry's eyes somehow.
So yeah, that was Digimon. We watched Digimon.
Digimon.
So
Digimon.
The structure Digimon. Of these episodes, there's the built-up Zuchaomon confrontation and reconciliation, and then D-Reaper introduction, and then going home. And yeah, let's go around and say what we thought about it. Ashley, what was your reaction to the arc? It was very positive, right? You loved it, right?
No, I thought these episodes were boring. I cannot... A lot happens in them. There are many things. There are lots of characters. I think there are too many things, and therefore I was just like, I can't care about any of these things. Like, all or nothing, guys. Now I'm at nothing, and I just don't care. It's just like, here's a racist bird. Can't fight, like, you fight him, and you biomerge, and then, oh, he's not the real enemy. The real enemy is a red blob, and I'm like, I just don't care. And then all the kids come together and I'm like, yeah, like, I can't care about all of you collectively either. I don't have the energy.
I definitely, not only arc as a whole, but in a microcosm, there was one episode in here that felt like the return of the general, I think it was episode 40. It was the one where they're they're just like on their way to go home, but they're still in the digital world. And it's just like, it, that just felt like, it were, I guess it was showing, a lot of the episode was spent showing the parents in the human world, like what they were doing to set them up to come home and stuff. And it just felt like, it reminded me a lot of the early episodes of Tamers, where it was like, nothing really happened, it felt like, but there was a lot of scenes, and they were kind of, they weren't unimportant. They were like valuable scenes, but it just didn't, I don't know.
I think a lot of importance happened here, but like none of it is given any care, really. And so I'm just like, well, I don't care if you don't care, show. Like, what's up?
I mean, those scenes that episode I was complaining about, I feel like not like it was lacking care, but that it was a kind of pacing that I think works well in anime in general, but doesn't really play to Digimon's strengths at all. Like, Digimon's strengths are having memorable set pieces each episode, and I think we kind of return to that form for the digital world, for some of the digital world. And now we're going back to it. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot how, like, on an episode by episode basis, kind of feels weak, but the fact that you're feeling it on the arc as a whole is more damning.
I mean, this just feels like so, like, everybody's character development is just like, okay, I see the seeds of where this came from, but you all took it to some weird extreme.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
It's just such a letdown after Beelzemon episodes to me, where it's like, okay, yes, I like that type of intense, like, keeping with a few characters, going with them through that. And then This is just like all the characters are going, doing everything, like everything's happening. And I'm like, I don't know, what am I supposed to care about here? Like, huh. I just don't know. So I don't care about any of it.
Okay, wait. So Asher, what was your reaction to the arc?
Okay, so I mean, I watched this arc and the last one together all at once.
How was that fun for you?
Fun. I ended up going to sleep really late, but...
Wait, Ash, what is really late for you? I'm curious.
Well, I don't think I actually went to bed until 1, which is probably, like, about when you wake up, from what I gather, from your sleeping habits. So, yeah. I actually didn't like last arc so much.
That's cool for you.
Right, because I think largely it's because I'm not that into Beelzemon, period. And I don't enjoy, like, the whole thing where, Takato is so angry and blah, 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 and Jerry is sad and, like...
It's like a recap. Right.
Yeah.
I don't like that sort of, if y'all just talked to each other and listened to each other, maybe this wouldn't be so awful. And also, like, I've actually never seen those episodes before, I realized. I haven't seen most of these episodes before. The only one I have any recollection of was the last one and Sakuyamon, actually. So it was all very new for me, and I think that contributed to a sort of interest in what was going on in this week's arc. I agree with you about that one episode where it's mostly the parents. I was like, I want the kids home already. Like, why are we doing this? What is this doing? What's the point? And I don't know, like, I actually really enjoyed this arc, probably because I limited what I cared about to very specific things. And I was watching...
You just ignored everything else?
I kind of did. I didn't care about Zuchaomon. I didn't care about Azulongmon. I didn't care about plot.
What did you care about?
I did care. I'm getting there, Ashley. I did care about... and this was a stupid thing to care about, but because they failed. But I did care about character development in these. I was watching, like, what motivated the biomerge stuff for Henry and for Rika. And while it was an abrupt shift from where they were to where they had to be to make this happen, and I don't really agree with any of it, but just focusing on that and the fact that I've never actually seen most of these episodes before made it at least entertaining. Also, like, when Terry Aran was disappearing, I was like, no! My child! So.
He should have disappeared so that Jerry could have somebody to...
Oh, God, no.
Be sad with.
No, 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 no. That's okay.
No, Andrew, what was your reaction?
Stuff happened. Setup. Lots and lots of setup.
So, do you like setup?
Not particularly, because I feel like this came out of nowhere-ish.
The D-Reaper, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to, yeah, that's one of the points I want to bring up is, yeah, that's one of my major complaints too.
How do you feel, Jeffrey?
Overall, I was pretty favorable to these episodes. That's not how you use the word favorable. Overall, I like these episodes. They were definitely sloppy in a lot of ways. The animation was particularly sloppy throughout many of them.
They had to save all the animation budget for the biomerch.
Yeah.
I mean, the biomerch sequences were nice. So that it does kind of make up for the animation. And the animation being terrible, it does provide some funny moments. So like it's valuable in that regard, which is nice. But it also just felt like the writing was pretty sloppy in a couple of different points. Some of them, you know, were in the character development, which we're going to get to a whole segment on. But, and that's really frustrating because it's just like, oh, that's like, that's really important. And I feel like zooming out, I think it's something that's really praised for the season that, and I remembered it being, especially these biomerges, that like, it's, you know, a season, almost, I don't know, season, three quarters, two thirds of a season worth of build up to these like really cathartic moments. And I was like, I'm really let down by these. But also they were just like the plot info dump stuff I really liked, especially how they're able to dump plot in a, what I thought was an interesting way to convey it. But there were things that just were sloppy about it. There's particularly one major grievance I had, which I'll get into later. I guess we're going to transition now into favorite characters. And on that note, it's just like, I really kind of struggled to find a favorite character because I was like, oh yeah, there were a lot of little moments I liked of various characters, but there was no one character that stood out to me. That's kind of, I feel like, reflects how I thought about the arc. It was like, yeah, there are a lot of little things I like about it, but like overall, it was just moving things along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Ashley, who's your favorite character?
Rika. Because Rika's the only one who does anything cool.
And I assume, Ash, you were going to agree.
Okay, wait, I would like to say that Takato was kind of a close second because of his emotional moment at the very end.
That's actually, I'm going completely against type here, and I am going to say Takato.
Oh.
See? Look at that.
Yeah, I thought, I don't have a topic, right? So I'll just get into it here a little bit. I do actually like the way they handled the confession on the train. I don't like that he chose that moment to do it, but
yeah, that's not appropriate. Like,
no, the thing that makes me, I'm very proud of him for this one particular thing, and it's that Jerry told him not to touch her, and he was very careful not to do that after that.
Mm.
And I'm actually pretty proud of him. He's a pretty good 10-year-old boy.
What do you say, like, he's a pretty good boy, like...
My other favorite is Terrymon. I mean that, like, he's a very good kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's such a good boy.
He's such a good boy. Good Takato. I'm proud of the way he acted for this arc.
Yeah.
not proud of him last arc.
Yeah, no. Not much to be proud of there.
No.
Even in that arc when he's is redeemed narrative-wise, still pretty... It's weird because it's like, oh yeah, he's rewarded with a devolution, but he's still doing wrong by Jerry. You know, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, he looks prettier now and he's doing the same thing.
Ashley, did you want to expound on Rika more? I thought it was going to be like a dual Rika pile-on, but instead shifted away from Rika to Takato. Oh.
Well, I mean, Rika gets the most moments to be like, you know what? I'm going to save all the people because I am cool like that.
It's
and
true.
Everybody else
it's
is
true.
Like, what? And she's like, no, I got this guy.
It's very true.
But Ryo also follows her and she's somewhat endeared to that. I'm like, oh, ugh, okay. I'm like, Ryo is secretly a big cheese ball. Oh my God. Ugh.
I mean, him being a cheese ball is like... is one of the few endearing things about him, I think. You know, like,
that's, well, I also agree with that.
Really?
I like that she got to save the day and he had to stand there holding Kylemon. Like, that is a dynamic I can get behind.
Okay, see, I like when Kylemon, you know, digivolves all the Digimon or whatever, and then he like falls into Rika, and I'm like, yeah, I like it. It's dope.
Yeah, I like that too.
Andrew, who's your favorite character?
I guess Rika.
So hesitant.
Without any strong feelings towards it?
I don't know. I really rushed through these episodes because I didn't realize we were recording today.
Did you watch them at 2x speed?
No.
Is that a thing you can do?
No, you can't do it on Netflix.
Yeah, you can't do it. Yeah, like, yeah, if you're watching legally through Netflix.
Oh, you can't do it legally. I see.
But I really did like what Rika went through. Do I have to pick a Digimon? I forget.
No. We just pick one. It's the fantasy draft where they picked
two. I want two.
You already picked Ariamon in spirit.
Okay.
And Riley's always...
Riley always picked for you. Did she even talk? I don't remember.
She does talk.
She was like, I called all the parents to come pick up the kids or something.
And Yuraki was like, cool, thank you for doing that thing when you called all the parents.
That's pretty much how it went. Okay, I would also say in spirit, I might have picked Renamon, because I really liked the line that she had with Rika, where Rika's like sympathizing with Jerry, but being like, why? Because Leo, like, she's so sad because Leomon died, and Renamon's like, no, it's because she didn't have the power to stop it. And I was like, ooh, the feels.
Yeah, that was good. I think it was both, though. I think she is sad.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, sure.
There's a lot in these episodes of, like, people explaining things that they don't know, and I'm just like, no, stop. Like, you don't know, like, stop being assertive about this thing that you don't know. Like, no one is really privy to Jerry's feelings right now when you're all...
Yeah, yeah.
So speaking of Jerry, Jerry's my favorite character in this arc. Okay. So it's a little bit of a
possessed Jerry.
It's a little bit of a problematic pick because it's like, do we even see Jerry in this arc? It's not really Jerry. It's especially unclear at this point, like how much of this personality is her, you know, actual grief and how much is her being possessed. And I guess
some of us don't remember these things.
Wait, so we do have some foresight, but I also, Ash, since you like don't have much memory of future stuff, I'm curious, you know, like. To me, I was like, how... It's super obvious she's possessed. Her eyes, especially the eyes.
The eyes are obvious, and also, like, there was a thingy by her foot, and then suddenly her eyes were messed up. So, like,
well, she walked away.
Yeah, that was also...
There was a thingy by her...
There was a piece of D-Reaper by her foot.
Yeah, it, like, rolled over to her. Like a little marble.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I meant by thingy. You should all, like, understand me immediately when I use...
I understand you. We're related.
You actually understood that?
Yes.
We're too related. So, like, yes, I am aware, because I also do remember that she has something to do with the D-Reaper, but, like, I don't totally... Yes, she's obviously possessed, but, like, I don't remember what comes of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, it's... On some level, it's not like I'm picking... I don't know, whatever this entity is, I think, really effective, because, first of all, the creepiness is just, like, spot on. It's just, like, super terrifying. Yeah. Like, oh, that's just, it's not likable at all, and it's, like, extremely effective. And it also just, like, is so good about evoking emotion. Like, there's so many scenes about Jerry are those, quote-unquote, the feels, and they're really well done. I think it's especially Jerry's non-presence that makes them so effective, and...
I was about to say, but it feels like it's like because so many things just happen to Jerry, and it's really the other characters that are making you feel that.
Yeah.
By Jerry being vacant.
Yeah.
That's actually the reason I didn't pick Jerry. Mm. Why I picked Kato.
Yeah, and I guess I like how in picking Jerry, I'm like kind of picking how those things center around her. But I also just really like this as an example of something that I think we've talked about several times, but just like. Good fantasy storytelling using fantastical exaggeration to good effect. You know, using something that is not a situation that could ever occur in the real world, that is an extreme exaggeration of something, but extreme exaggeration of something that is relatable and that takes these hyperbolic situations that we can relate to. And, you know, the stakes aren't quite that extreme. We don't have, you know, an existential dread possessing us, but like that is trying to destroy the world. But we do have, you know, vacancy and grief that. Expressed in similar ways to Jerry, and the plight that the other characters go through trying to help her and trying to relate to her are still, you know, very similar to things that people in the real world go through, and on that level, I really appreciate it. And I don't know if you all had favorite episodes, but my favorite episode was episode 41 because of the reunion stuff and Jerry and Itmon's being excluded from that and how effective that was emotionally, but also the train stuff and, yeah, all of that. Are there any other favorite episodes?
Song of Sukuyamon.
What?
I don't care. I agree that Rika's characterization in it is terrible, but...
Sukuyamon?
I still like it, yeah.
Huh.
It's not a good episode, but it's the one I liked most.
Okay, I will agree with Jeff on this one. Throughout the Sakuyamon episode, there would be moments where I was like, yeah, I'm totally into this. And then there would be other things where I'd be like, I don't understand this at all. And like,
yeah,
this gender is gross. And like,
ugh. Yeah, gender was super gross throughout this
arc. The first one was the worst offender, honestly.
I feel like the gender in this arc isn't so much in the normal ways where it manifests, where it's like subtle, you know, kind of like deep things, or like, you know, deeply, like a knife going deep into your stomach, but you don't really notice there's something. But it was more just like Kazu saying really shitty things, just being like, oh my God, yeah. Kazu, like, ugh.
And yeah.
Yeah, this episode did not, or this arc did not make me viscerally mad like all the other arcs. I felt like, yeah. I was like, okay, Rika's like just doing, taking some control in some
Rika
weird
did a
way.
Lot, and she did a lot in really subtle ways as well as big ways.
Yeah.
Because Rika was always there for Jerry. Like,
yeah, that's what I like the most. Is
that's what I like the most also.
I liked when Jerry, I guess it was before Jerry was possessed, and Rika comes back from Chaos Land or whatever, yeah. And Jerry like hugs like, her and is like, I'm so glad that you're safe. I'm like, yep, Jerry really only cares about Rika. Because Rika's the nicest.
And is that one of like the few instances where Jerry is present?
In this
it
arc,
felt like it, yeah.
So, yeah.
That's really sweet. Sure level, it's like the cherry on top. So in terms of least favorites, I think we all need to have the argument, who is worse, Ryo or Kazu?
Kazu.
So hard.
Kenta.
Yeah, that's true. Kenta really did put a bid in this set of episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, I wrote down Ryo is still the worst, but then like going through my notes, like I had so many points in my notes where I was like, Kazu, Kazu.
I definitely had way more moments of Kazu, why'd you say this? You didn't have to say this.
Right, like, it's like, Ryo's existence is still frustrating, but, like, everything Kazu says is...
Exactly. But he didn't do anything bad this arc.
Yeah, he's not doing things particularly bad, but he still exists, which is frustrating.
I mean, the worst thing with Ryo that I didn't like was actually in the Song of Sakuyamon, when he follows her and then uses Avenging Knight or whatever as the card, and I was like, real subtle show. real subtle.
Chivalry is not dead, apparently.
Also, that whole plot of throw two little sticks into rocks and it will stop all the rocks from falling down is so funny.
Oh, I actually found that more believable. I was expecting something more ridiculous, and I was like, that's actually kind of believable.
It's believable, but it should have been more than two.
Yeah, like, if it was more than two, yeah. I would have believed that.
No, because I assume the way it was working was, you know, like, it wasn't, like, all the rocks were caught. It was that, like, you get, like, big chunks that kind of block the initial flow, and then, like, more power. Like,
sure, but you need, like, those two things are not going to be able to hold that amount of rocks.
Yeah. And they slipped through. I don't know.
I was much more frustrated by, like, when the D-Reaper globs started going through it. Like, it was, like, instead of them deleting things like they normally did, they were, like, bubbling up. And I was like, what? Like, this isn't how this mechanic was introduced. Any other least favorites?
I feel like this was one of the overall, the weaker arcs that we watched recently.
So, we finally got the reveal of Chuchamon. We don't want to keep saying the sovereign or whatever. And also, this is a moment I've been expecting for a while, looking forward to, because I'm pretty sure in our episode one, way back when we talked about our highlights and our favorite characters and stuff, before we rewatched everything, the Dave was really stood out to me as being really interesting characters because they were villains, but they were sympathetic and they had a good cause, even though they were villains. And actually rewatching the season has been one of the biggest disappointments because they have not felt that way at all. And so I was really looking forward to how the reveal was handled of their, I guess, what I expected to be their, you know, logical, good intents. And, you know, I'm pretty disappointed. I mean, as we were a couple episodes into the Davis arc, I was like, okay, I can see this is not going to live up to what I expected. So I'm not like extremely bent up by this now. I kind of expected it. But yeah, I mean, but I also wanted to, so Chuchamon in brief is just not very sympathetic. You know, it's not like he had a very noble cause and was just a little misguided. It's not like, I can't think of good examples, but like, the only examples that come to mind right now are, can't remember the names. The two primary antagonists of Golden Sun, the first game, who I later revealed to you know, actually have a pretty logical and eventually good goal. Like, you know, it's not like, oh, they're just bad and they're confused and that's why they're being bad. Like, kind of like Beelzemon or whatever.
The person actually, who worked for Alex?
The two, yeah.
Minardi and... Satros. What's the dude's name? What?
Satros and Minardi.
Yeah, Satros. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to spoil... I guess I've already spoiled it by saying they're sympathetic. But I think if you haven't played Golden Sun, maybe that'll convince you to play it and you should have to go play it.
15
so.
Years old.
Like, it's such a good game. But anyway, they... So spoiler alert, if you like want to skip ahead a minute, if you want to go play it, but you should go play it. Anyway, they are, you know, like the goal that they are fighting for, you're fighting against them at the first game. And then you realize like you're the ones that are wrong. Like what they're fighting for is actually the correct thing. And that they're still, you know, more violent. I forget exactly how it plays out, but like they are still, you know, like they're completely the good guys. Like they still were being too violent. They were being a little oppressive, as I recall. But like what they're fighting for was good. And they were, you know, just kind of... There was a mix of being framed as bad guys unjustly and also being a little themselves, not being the greatest people. Whereas Chama and the Devas are really just what they are fighting for is not good. Like they are a very direct analogy for racism. It's not like, I don't even know if like calling it an analogy or metaphor is even accurate because it's just literal. Like we are Digimon. We will fight only Digimon. We will not accept help from humans. Humans must get out of here. It's, you know, like in the world, in the Digimon world, that is race, like they're digital Digimon race and human race. And so it's not even an analogy for racism. It is direct racism. And my thoughts are kind of all over the place in this, but a common thread that I've heard a complaint from people when they go and rewatch Tamers is that they are really frustrated with how the conflict with the Devas for an entire, I don't know how long it goes, like almost half the season of the show could just be avoided by talking and hashing out feelings. And, you know, like, eventually they reconcile with Chishaman, so, like, couldn't all that just been avoided? There would have been so much, you know, not only, like, bloodshed loss, or they would have avoided so much bloodshed, but also just, like, I think they're just frustrated that, like, half the show is devoted to this thing that is eventually pointless, and it's a waste of the viewer's time. And I, after getting to this point, I feel like I strongly disagree with that. I mean, like, to some degree, yes, they do eventually reconcile with Chishaman and get him to come along to their cause and, like, not completely begrudge him, not, like, violently attack them, but... Like, his methods are still wrong. Like, it's still, even though they eventually kind of redeem him, like, the methods that he was using, the methods that Devas are using is still very much wrong. I'm constantly reminded of the episode with Indramon and Impmon, and that's when Henry first learns, he learns that the mythology the Devas are based on are supposed to be good characters in the mythology, and he's like, well, now I'm confused. Are the Devas good or bad? And the scheme of things, that's kind of irrelevant. Like, whether the characters they're based on are good or bad is irrelevant to whether they are good or bad. But anyway, like, Henry judges by how Indramon treats Impmon and how terribly he treats Impmon is like, you know, even if these guys are supposed to be good, this is not good. Like, I will not stand by this. I will have to fight against this. And yeah, I think that's like, you know, plays out with most of the Devas except for Antelamon. And it's like they are, I think, kind of irredeemable in the end. And they, I guess to some degree, they're just following Shaman's orders. And Shaman is really the one who is just full out racist that should be kind of vilified. But I don't know. There are definitely lots of points in this where Shaman is clouding his judgment in a way that I thought was very realistic. You know, like Shaman saying, we don't need humans in the coming battle, which I've, like he's like in the middle of complaining about how desperate they are. And he's like, no, but we don't need humans. Like that's the one thing we cannot abide by, or like how everything the humans touch is an abomination and all this stuff. It's just, it almost, to a certain point, I feel like it's a little bit unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You know, like it seems like it's like too extreme. But then I think about how like that, you know, like is not that far removed from reality. It's not that far removed from discourse about Muslims in our country, or you know, it's just, it's kind of gross in a realistic way. And I really like Azulamong coming in and just being like, Chaman, like your senseless vendetta. Like he just kind of like shoots him down. It's like, Chaman, like we're not all this racist. Like this guy is just like, you know, out in the deep end, and like we kind of have to put up with him, but like none of us, you know, get along with his silliness. Of course, the silliness that is like, you know, caused the death of Jerry's best friend. It's not like, oh, haha, but it has real consequences, just like racism in real life has real consequences.
Sure. I'm struggling with the fact that all the Devas died and like...
11 of the 12.
I mean, it doesn't do anything, yeah, well, sure. It doesn't do anything to like The reason that they're so disappointing is that it's like, okay, you meet finally the person who's ordering them around, and just like the resolution of this is like so whatever, and like you don't care about them, and like the only one you interact, like you even remember is Lopmon because she's still alive. It's just kind of like, okay, like they all died for this guy. Like it doesn't, like you're saying like, oh, he's the only one who's super racist, but I don't think that's true. Like I think the Devas were also
I agree. There are definitely many points where a couple of them in particular were pretty racist in their views. I definitely think I trickled down to them too. But so are you saying that like it does feel kind of like a waste, or like there was no point to them?
I mean, yeah. Like there's no point to them.
But I feel like if you have any kind of tournament, not tournament, but like you go, you know, beat the lower ranks to get to the big bad, like that doesn't make the ones you fought the lower rank, you know, like be worthless or pointless.
Well, one thing I was thinking about was that it actually seemed super anticlimactic to have Henry be the one to sort of defeat him for like, you know, a second. Because that means that this big bad that was built up as like the one that everyone's going to have to fight was beat by just one of them. And that means he wasn't that great after all.
Right. And then they kind of undercut that by then being like, okay, I don't know why you thought that I was dead. Like, I am still around. But then, like, they never actually try to fight, you know, 3-on-1 or anything. Right.
Which is annoying, actually, because it's like they had to get Renamon out of the way by making her responsible for the bubble thing. It's like so annoying.
And I mean, looking at from a bird's eye perspective, or from zoomed out really far, the fight between Mega Gargumon and Duchamon is kind of what I remembered. Like, is the climactic battle I remembered, not really the, like, them running away from Duchamon and Azumon interfering. Like, I did kind of have this recollection. I think I must have remembered, like, didn't actually defeat him, because, you know, like, it's, like, god level. You know, like, it wouldn't have made sense for, which is one of the Mega Digimon, partner Digimon, to, like, as soon as they first evolved to beat the god, but that was kind of remembered, that, like, oh, yeah, they Digivolved Mega and then defeat him. And, yeah, I think that's, I guess they probably, like, I mean, even Sakuyamon's, the cause for Digivolution was pretty much a letdown. It was like, Digivolve to Mega to kind of stop the flow of the thing for a bit, and then it didn't work that much. I think they just had a problem of not really having good things for them to go up against. You know, like, Gallimon,
right.
The cause for Gallimon was really strong. And then the other ones are just, it must have been really hard to plot around that, because they didn't have other things to play. They didn't have other villains to, like, pieces on the chessboard to use.
Right. And, like, I sort of justified the Rika thing to myself by, like, she got to go up against the big bad.
Mm.
But she didn't get to have a cool fight like the other two did, which, you know, is disappointing. Yeah.
She got an attack.
I mean, this to me still really solidifies that Henry is the second out of the three.
Yeah, except he's also the most forgettable still, even with this... Even with this battle against Duchamon.
Sure, but I think the show wants him to be second. Like, even with my, you know, only the people who have metal on them get CGI thing, like, then Sakuyamon should have been CGI, and she wasn't.
Wait, does she have metal?
Her chest plate is metal.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, even just in the order, the reveal is like, I mean, Rika's always been last, right? I mean, in both Champion Evolution, Ultimate Evolution, and Mega Evolution, like, it's a very consistent pattern at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Champion, you know, like, it wasn't, like, Henry and Takato switch places, right? Other than that, it's been a consistent pattern. Mm-hmm. It's been Takato and Henry and Rika.
Yep.
And, yeah, I think that's, like, you know, the marketing and the kind of planning on the show assumed that Henry would be the better one to put there, and then in the scheme of things, everyone remembers Rika better, so...
Because she's better.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Henry is forgettable, but, like...
I mean, Henry's still interesting. Henry's still good. Not like to diss Henry too much, but Rika's still the best.
I mean, I like Henry, except for this arc, but... like, he's not memorable.
Okay, so now we have a Patreon submitted topic from Sam Kruwagamon. I guess we should start mentioning has his own podcast now. I mean, it's the Moncast, where they compare Pokemon and Digimon. And yeah, so the topic that he submitted was about the D-Reaper and the D-Reaper's introduction. A couple of different points for us to talk about. So the first prompt was, what are our thoughts on it as an enemy / concept?
I like it as a concept.
So what do you not like it as?
I don't like blobby nothingness enemy. Like
Blobby McGoopface?
Yeah, like, it's not fun to watch fight because it's unbeatable and it doesn't have a personality. It doesn't act on its own at this point. And it's boring.
This is the point where I would say Tamer's pretentiousness has gone too far to make the enemy literally chaos. That's not cool.
I still, one of my major frustrations with this introduction of the Reaper is in terminology. And that's half of it. There are two. So I'll get to the second one. There are two terms they keep referring to the Reaper as, which is chaos, the first one. And I'm just frustrated because that's not what chaos is. Chaos is not deleting things.
Like, right.
Chaos is the spread of the increase of entropy, like taking an ordered system and having it kind of disperse into a less ordered, I don't want to say more chaotic. And I don't know, people also think of chaos as being like randomness. Chaos is not random. Chaos can be, I took a physics class about chaos once, so in college, but chaos can be, you know, completely predetermined, have a mathematical form of everything. It's just, I forget how it's actually measured. It's like a certain level of disorder.
Well, okay, I want to push back on that a little bit, because in a world made of information and data constructed in a very orderly way in order for anything to work, I could see chaos being what it is in Tamer's and making sense, but they don't explain that.
Right.
Also, in a mythological sense, chaos was also the sort of nothingness that existed before the gods. So, but they don't explain that either. And they haven't brought up Greek mythology before. So I also don't like that it's called chaos.
That's a good point. I shouldn't be like being confined strictly to a scientific definition, because there are other definitions before scientific one. And I also agree that like deletion would make sense as a chaotic concept if it's like you take order data and it becomes disordered. All the ones and zeros get like dispersed or, you know, like set to random values. That is a form of chaos. And it is like that would manifest through deletion. But it just feels like that was like a leap that wasn't made to get to that point.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think it's just like, it frustrates me because it's like, it's just a word that sounds dangerous. It's just like, ooh, chaos. It just sounds epic and like threatening. And so like when they use
chaos
it, I was like,
chaos control.
We got a Chowmon.
Yeah.
What?
Chowmon. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. But yeah, it just feels like a buzzword. You know, it's like, you're just saying a word that sounds, I guess chaos, a lot of the ways people refer to chaos feels like buzzwordy. I'm like, oh, stop saying it. The other term though they use, which is just the true enemy. Oh my God. Like it's the kind of, the phrasing they first started using, like this makes total sense when you're in the context of like talking about how Chuchaomon is the enemy. And then you start saying the true enemy, or you're talking to Chuchaomon and he thinks of the humans as the enemy. And you say, you know, the true enemy, like it makes sense to use the terminology there.
Okay.
But then they keep using it in every,
But the problem with that is that it belittles, like, if Zhu Xiaoman is, like, a raging racist, then it belittles, like, well, actually, there's a deeper, it's not the racists who are the problem, it's, like, this deeper issue. Like, it just, I don't know, it just, like, belittles.
I don't think it belittles anything at all. I think, like, you know, racists will be, like, we are trying to solve the real problems that, for example, America is facing, and we will do that by excluding Islamic people from entering the country. And they'll still be like, this is the real problem that we are facing. This is the true enemy. You know, like, and they're still like, I don't want to make it about like today's tragedy, but like, so there are still like real issues that everyone agrees on being a problem, that like people think of different ways to solve the problem. So like them all having the same true enemy.
Yes, I agree.
Right. So like, what is debelittle? I don't understand.
Cause it's not, it's just a made up, like it's not, it's a chaos. Like what?
It's not made. I mean, I think it's the kind of thing, it's an initial concept. I think, I wish I could probably explain that it was created by the Monster Makers / Wild Bunch in their initial program as a program to, depending on the dub or the sub, control the, I think in the dub they say that it's like to control things that evolve outside their parameters. And in the Japanese version they say to delete useless data, to clean up things. And those are both things that I think makes, like, they make sense in a, you're setting up a simplistic virtual world. And like, when you're not thinking of data as having sentience, as like being logical, you should delete it and clean it up and stuff. that I think makes sense when you add sentience to it. What does it mean to have a program that deletes unnecessary data? You know, like, I don't find it made up in that. I feel like it's a logical progression of, you know, take digital concepts, add sentience to it.
Sure. I struggle with the, like, in the analogy of Zhu Xiaoman is a racist, the analogy does not hold up to me when it's like, the thing that they are fighting against is a thing that they created, but is also just portrayed as chaos. That's like being in the racist analogy. That's like, our true enemy is death. Like, that's not a thing that you can fight against.
Actually, I mean, yes, it is. Like, I mean, like, okay, saying our true enemy is death, no, but like, what if we're like, our true enemy is cancer? Our true enemy is depression, economic depression. Our true enemy is...
No, because those are things that only affect very certain amounts of people. This is a thing that is like, this affects everybody if you can get deleted at any time and all everything's going to get deleted.
I just don't think these are as far removed as you think. Like, if America were at war with country A, like, there would be racists who are like, in order to save our country from country A, anyone from country A could come and kill people from our country. We need to exclude certain people. Like, that's a thing that happens in wartime. And, you know, like, even though, like, the fact that it's an omnipresent danger does not negate that.
But if chaos does not have sentience, then it's not analogous.
No, the point, it's not like his racism is fueled by the motivation of the greater threat. The racism is fueled by differing approaches to solve that threat. You know, so, like, they all agree that the thing is bad. They have differing philosophies and, you know, like, that evokes different levels of racism and values of other people in how they deal with it. The fact that it doesn't have motivation doesn't change that.
I feel like we're saying different things, and I'm just going to drop this now.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, the original point, just, like, the true enemy, ugh, that name, they just, like, they keep referring to that name in context that just, like, sounds so hokey and poorly written. I was just like, ugh, ugh.
I don't have as much problems with this name.
Did anyone else? Am I the only one?
I mean, it's a little corny, but, like, this is Digimon, and quite frankly, this is about what I expect from the Digidestined and the Chosen Children and the Eighth Child, and like, I'm okay with it.
Interesting. The next topic of discussion is whether it fits the story well, and I have some major gripes with this. I wonder if anyone else does.
I mean, I don't actually have many thoughts on the D-Reaper yet, since we haven't seen its true form.
The true enemy has not revealed its true self yet.
Ugh. Right?
Does it need Chaos Emeralds?
Oh,
yes.
No.
It took you that long to get what we were talking about.
So I don't have, I'm not talking mainly about, like, the, does it fit Tamers? Because, yeah, we haven't seen enough to know that. What I'm frustrated about is how shoehorned in it feels that this huge threat that is the motivation of all these players, I mean, the Devas, whatever, that, like, it has had no foreshadowing. It has had, not even just foreshadowing, just, like, it has not had any effect on the world up until the point where it's revealed, and then it has a huge effect on the world. That is just...
Well,
I think it's like we were talking about Rio a couple of episodes ago, but, like, to the extreme. I think it's several degrees worse than Rio's.
I guess I sort of disagree a little bit, because I do feel that Zhu Xiaoman's, hatred and mistrust of humans might have something to do with this threat, because people do turn on each other when there is an external threat, or they band together. Like, it brings out the extremes in people. So, like, for me, the whole Deva's arc leads up to this.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, it does. I guess the frustrating thing is, like, that is a logical reason for someone's anger and mistrust or whatever to manifest. But, like, it never felt like when we were seeing the Deva's being super racist and evil or whatever, it never was like, I wonder if it's because they're actually under some other threat and, like, the anger that we're seeing is caused by that. You know, like, the thing we talked about before with the, we talked about a couple of times whether the data that we were seeing kind of, like, disappearing from the wasteland area, and if the fact that so much of the digital world was wasteland were signs of the D-Reaper, like, wrecking havoc, and if the digital world was in a state of, like, disrepair because of it. And it turns out that's mostly not the case, that the wasteland is wasteland because that was what the world, they say that it was the way the digital world originally was, and they built, you know, more advancements on it later.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, and the way they talk about the D-Reaper, like, being in hibernation for so long and, like, just now starting to maybe appear, but no one, most people haven't even seen it, most of the one haven't even seen it before, I think implies that it's not like they're in a, already a state of disrepair. But that's the kind of thing that I think would, that's the kind of thing I was expecting. You know, like, little signs that something's up, that there's something wrong. And instead we just, I guess it's just normal for villains to have motivations like that, or to have feelings like that, so I didn't think there'd be anything to it. I don't think it's logical to expect viewers to think there's anything to it. I don't know.
I mean, it's not like I would have expected the D-Reaper to exist before this, but, I mean, except for the part where I already watched the show, but, like, it doesn't to me feel out of the blue. Like, it makes sense to me now that it has been revealed. The backstory makes sense, like, why they were so intent on getting the human world, because maybe they'd be safe from the D-Reaper, which is not the case. But,
okay, see,
what do I know?
I feel like the issue that I'm having with this, like, racism metaphor, then true enemy thing, is, like, normally the problems of the world, it's, like, it goes in both directions. Like, the racism comes from the fact that the humans created this program that's deleting them all. But it's also, like, the true quote-unquote problem normally comes because humans are also terrible already and already have those racist tendencies. Like, they compound upon each other, whereas I don't feel like that's true here.
I really think you're looking at things from, like, you're looking, like, I think you're, like, putting into the equation of the analogy, like, very different things. Like, how does, humans causing cancer because of racism? Like,
You really want cancer to be the only one that applies here, don't you? But that doesn't make sense. Like, cancer is not a thing that happens because of racism. That is not an analogous thing.
Right, it doesn't. Like, that's why I'm confused.
But that's not what this analogy is, because it's like the humans cause the chaos, which, okay, I guess behaves like a cancer, but, like, metaphor.
So your main point is that, like, the Digimon have a reason to be racist against the humans because they know that the humans created the chaos, which I don't think is ever stated in the show. That's why I had this huge disconnect, because I don't think Shaman's ever, like, they are the reason this thing exists. Like, they, even Azulamon, like, blames themselves for, which I don't think is fair, how he's like, it's our fault for digivolving too much. Like, that was, I don't really feel comfortable.
Gosh, I have so many problems with fault in this show, is basically what this comes down to.
I just wanted to ask everyone, what do you think about, how does the D-Reaper compare to other villains in other seasons of Digimon? Do you think it, I guess that's not a good thing to answer now because we haven't seen it fully. That's not good.
We can do that one later.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think we'll have a lot more things to say about the D-Reaper once we get further in and see more of it. This, at this point, is just a thoughts about its introduction topic. So look forward to more D-Reaper. Yay. I thought it'd be good for us to talk about the character development, the character arcs that happen as a result and that cause the biomerge dissolutions in this arc. I was hoping they'd be a pretty important part of the series, but I think we're all pretty let down.
I thought
we should start with Henry. He is first in the episodes.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Asher. All right.
Angry
at Henry or...
At Henry and at the writers. Angry.
The first point I wrote down, talking point, is Henry's instinct to keep Susie away from harm wrong, or is it just his execution and how he does it?
It's how he does it. She's four. She doesn't belong there.
She's not four.
Whatever.
Seven,
she's
apparently.
Seven? Whatever.
Is that seven in the dub and four in Japanese? Or?
I don't know.
She's little, and she doesn't belong there. And she should go home. And, like, I understand his frustration, and it's very real, and he shouldn't get rewarded for it.
Yeah, I guess that is part of the frustration I feel. Like, okay, so there are two things. Is, like, Henry's, his instinct and his execution. And what the show portrays is that his instinct is bad and his execution is bad. Because, like, by the end of the show, like, by the end of the episode, Susie is there and, like, okay, it's actually fine that she's there.
It's not fine that she's there.
Right, God. So, like, well, we think the right answer is that his execution was wrong, which I guess the show at least, you know, agrees with. But also that we think that the instinct is wrong, too. And the show is, like, saying, no, it's okay that she's there. And we're like, no. But I also feel like it's, like, at a zoomed out level where it's, like, even the main kids shouldn't be there. The main kids shouldn't have left without telling their parents what was going on fully. And, like,
yes,
they are still, you know, like, I forget what they are, 10 or 12, depending on the version. And, like, should really not be on their own in general, but also in a foreign
dangerous place
landscape where, like, who even knows if they can be digitized and, like, rematerialized as real things, or, like, maybe they've killed themselves by putting themselves into a computer. Like, that's a possibility. And so, yeah, it's a little frustrating because I'm like, this is not logical for anyone to be here. So I can totally understand why it's not logical for Susie to be there. But, like, it doesn't think there's that much of a gap between Susie and the other kids, almost. I don't know. I guess there
is. It feels like there is a big gap between Susie and the kids, though, because of the way the kids are portrayed.
Yeah.
And the way Susie's portrayed.
True, true. I like how the DigiGnomes kind of mess with Henry, though. That he's like, no, Susie, stay there. And the DigiGnomes are like, no, we're going to bring her. And I'm like, I guess I don't appreciate how she shouldn't really be there. But, like, I like how the DigiGnomes are just messing with him.
The DigiGnomes are trolls, man. Let me tell you.
Wishes are trolls. Wishing is trolling.
Yeah, it really is, though.
Okay. I appreciate that the arc of him pushing Tarryamon because of how dire things are with Susie's presence and with a death having just happened. I appreciate how logical that felt.
Mm-hmm. What I actually appreciated about that was he didn't really push Tarryamon. He just said a thing and Tarryamon was like, I'm going along with this.
Mm-hmm.
Tarryamon had full, complete agency.
This episode made me really convinced that Henry is the Matt.
Henry's what?
Henry's the Matt.
Yeah, because, you know, being overprotective over Susie, I don't know.
And then Tarryamon going along with it just because is like Gabumon just being like, yeah, I'll just fight Agumon. I'll pretend that he's not my friend.
Except Tarryamon really does love Susie, like, on his own.
True.
And also, like, if Henry had realized, like, Tarryamon hid his injury from Henry. Like, if Henry had known, he would not have done that.
I suppose.
Henry's a wuss. He wouldn't have done it.
Well, there's a line, actually, where Henry said, I knew what was going on, and I chose to ignore it.
Well, I think he said he didn't realize that Tarryamon was that badly hurt. He knew he was badly hurt, but not, like, to the point of fizzling out of existence.
Yeah.
It's also just, Henry's whole thing is that he doesn't want to fight, so it was weird.
But now he's cool with it. He's like, yeah, okay.
I mean, we've had the development that, like, he fights when there's something to fight for, when there's somebody to protect. Like, that's his thing, is protecting people. And, like, yeah, okay, he's protecting Susie, but he was also really mean to Susie, so I'm not happy.
Yeah.
But I actually felt the most, well, this is gonna make me sound like a terrible person, but I felt like the most like him in that moment.
Well, that's because you were terrible. No, I love you, Ashley. I didn't like that he pushed her down. I couldn't tell if he hit her or not.
That's true. There was that ambiguous moment. No, but even that, I'm like, you know, when I get too riled up and I'm like, I'm just trying to do the right thing. Why are you making me mad about it?
Yeah. Just like, yeah, like, I understand it and I also don't like it.
Yes.
Don't do that.
Don't be Henry.
Don't be Henry, children. Well,
normally being Henry would be okay. You'd be boring, but...
No!
don't emulate that particular moment. Yeah.
Be Rika.
I'm also not really a fan of how the thing that, like, triggers, you know, like, his connection to Tarryamon and the, like, their biomerge is that he, like, realizes what's going on or realizes what he's been doing. He's like, oh no, I'm the worst. And then Tarryamon be like, no, you're not the worst. You're still good. Like, and it's like, that's what makes them, like, part of me is just like, it feels cliche.
Yeah, that could have been better.
But it could have been,
they both love Susie.
Hmm.
It would have been easy. It's so easy. Bad writing for my green characters.
That's what Asher is truly mad about.
It's truly what I am angry about.
I think it's not the cliche nature of it that bothers me. I think it's that it, like, feels too close to home. I don't know. Like,
it's not even. I also just feel like it's not compelling in any way. It's not interesting.
I also don't think it's a good, like, relationship moment. It's not like that's not the foundation of a really strong relationship. That's the foundation of, like, you know, a really minor, you know, like, feeling better in the moment kind of thing. And not really, like, and now we're, like, totally in sync. It's like, we both feel a little bit better right now. Speaking of disappointing, okay. So I think someone else would finish that sentence.
Rika?
Oh, Rika.
Yeah, Rika. So to frame this, I mean, we all really appreciate Rika in this arc in general, right? But,
I mean, it doesn't make it not... That doesn't make it logical. Like,
what? I'm saying the opposite. Like, we all appreciate Rika in general, but, like, I was going to say that I think that her actions in this episode, in the Skeemon Biomerge episode, are just completely illogical and, Like, I didn't even know what they were trying to do with her character development. Like, it's like it was all over the place in order to give her something to bio-merge over.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like... I mean, it made sense to me on a level that's like, she is the closest to Jerry. She has picked up on that Jerry's problem is somehow with destiny. She has a conversation with Renamon and then just like... completely is like, well, if I control my own destiny, then let's not run away from the big chaos thing that we don't know how to fight and can delete me in 5 seconds. And I'm like, what?
Okay. Okay. So let's pick this apart. You already ran into like several things that I want to complain about. Okay. I know this is mostly just a dub thing. So at first I'm going to complain about the dub thing, then I'm going to move on to the original. But like her question to Renamon of like, can we change your destiny? And Renamon's like, sure. Then she's like, so can we change Liamon's destiny? And it's like, no, Rika, you're not that naive. You're not that childish. Like, you know that he died.
I didn't think she was asking that in a serious way.
Oh, you think it was just her being like... like, oh, that's...
I think it was her lashing out in a way. Like, what... this would be the way to fix this problem, but it is barred to us. So, like, why is life unfair? It's getting at a larger question without asking the larger question. Like, why do bad things happen to good people? It's theodicy.
Theodicy?
No. Oh, God, I have to write this word down for you.
Theodicy?
Yes.
It sounds just like theodicy, though.
But not the Odyssey, as in the... epic poem by Homer, The Odyssey. The Odyssey is the question of why do good things happen to bad people if there is God, or if there is any... So, I mean, I don't know. We don't have to get into spirituality at this point, but it's that idea of why do bad things happen to good people? Why is there suffering? But, I mean, the Theo in there implies God.
Right. I'll buy that interpretation. I'm curious to hear if listeners want to write in if they thought it was that or if they thought it was Rika seriously asking that.
She's not dumb. 10-year-olds know about death.
No, but like, she's not dumb. So that makes so much more sense. But I thought the writers might think that she is. You know, like, I wouldn't have been surprised if the writers did that.
I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised if the writers did that too. But I prefer the version of Digimon Tamers where I write it. So.
That's a good pull quote.
Go on. What else do you not like about Rika?
Just the whole logic of like, well, like they were being fairly, they had just reunited with Kalamon. They were being fairly effective at running away. There was no real indication that running away would not have worked, but instead she was just like, running away won't work. Let's just attack it. It was like, I wanted to actually make this a like. There are a couple instances earlier on where like Talmon's protecting everyone in the bubble. And Gilmon and Terrymon jump out. I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, this is... like,
oh, yeah.
Just the fact that Daomon has everyone in the bubble is an achievement. It was hard to get that to happen in the past. Like, they got split up because they couldn't all be in the same bubble. So I'm just like, no, my God, what are you throwing away by doing this? Like, oh. And it turned out to be fine because they landed in water and were able to like, swim ashore. But, like, I was like, how are you going to, like, are they going to pull some weird, like, crazy non-logical physics where, like, they fall down but then are able to be picked up again or something? But whatever. And then like Takato jumps out of the bubble too. I was like, there is so much like male privilege here. And like, they're just like, we'll just be fine if we just jump. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. No, but this is the one thing that made me mad was that like, in comparison to those actions, which are like legit crazy, it was like Gilmon and Terrymon were like, let me just go fight Juchaomon. Like, yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
And just like... them doing that, and nobody yells at them. They're just like, oh, come back. Like, And then everything that Rika does, they portray as like, Rika is batshit crazy.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That happens like later on, not particularly in that Tsukimon episode, but like when she tries to help Emon, like Kazuya just says she's crazy over and ugh.
Yeah.
Kazuya, the worst.
Yep.
And like, everybody is very insistent that Rika has lost her mind. And I'm like, have you seen what any of you boys have done in the past? Please.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah. But so yeah, I guess I'm just frustrated by the idea of the biomerges being reliant on not just metaphorical, but literal leaps of faith, because it just feels frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much literal leaping of faith.
The thing I do like is the return of Rika's confidence, though.
Was it gone ever?
Yes!
We had
a whole episode arguing about this.
That's true, okay.
But now I feel like it's manifested that, like, Ryo always comes and, like, kind of tries to steal the spotlight from him.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Like, he's like, I was there with Rika.
As long as he's just there to hold her flower/Kalamon, though, I'm okay with him.
So this is the pattern I noticed, and it really frustrates me, and like also makes sense of this whole Rio Rika shipping thing. It's the, so first of all, it's just frustrating that Rio was like very prominent in this episode that's supposed to be about Rika.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked at who wrote the episode, and so it was Yoshimura Genki, who also actually misread the sentence. I thought I wrote who also is to blame for most Rio episodes, but it's not that. It's that the first episode is called Blame It on Rio. Anyway,
which is still a great title.
I mean, he is also to blame for the episode. So, but yeah, like he wrote most of the Rio episodes, like Blame It on Rio, Goliath, which I don't know if, I think we mentioned on the show that like in Kanaka's notes, he specifically says like, I didn't do the Rio character development. I left it up to the person who wrote those episodes. So he's also to blame for the Rio character development in general.
There's such a thing?
There's such a thing.
Supposedly. Yeah, so he was also involved, I didn't write down the specific episodes, but he was involved in some of the early Rika-centric episodes. So it's like, they were kind of tied together from the start. Like, and I guess like initial planning, like who's even going to write episodes? Like it must have been structured from that point. And
I mean, I would have appreciated them to have been more firmly tied together from the start is basically what the problem is, isn't it?
That's true. Like, yeah, if, like in those early episodes with Rika, she had been like, there is this character who like I am trying to live up to. Like, yeah. Yeah, that would have made things better. But
like I would have appreciated everything that happens, like at least a little bit more if that had been said.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it might have been said once, but like not by Rika. I think it was said by somebody else. Like some side shady character who was hitting on her or something.
Said what?
Was like, oh, she's only the Digimon champion because
I don't think so. I think that was like you really? Inserting memories after the fact after they talked about that.
Yeah.
I have one more thing I wanted to touch on, which is just, I mean, you can also kind of have a few other moments you really liked, but the moment I really appreciate of Rika outside of the Sukuyomon episode was when she and Renamon go to save Entmon, but they do it without communicating, first of all, to each other, and second of all, to the audience. It's just trust in the audience, but also trust in each other. That's just like, I figure what they do, how they communicate. They're just like, we just need to go. And they're both like, yep. And then they leave. And then,
well, I mean, like they find his bandana, right? Is that the first thing?
Yeah. Mm. They do find his bandana.
So that made it clear to me.
Yeah. I knew they were going after Itmon.
But they didn't like spell it out. They weren't like, we need to go find Itmon to the audience or anything.
Oh, I thought they had their whole moment of like, when we were Sukuyomon, I felt this overwhelming desire to protect all the Digimon. Did you feel it too, Rika? And she was like, yeah.
Like, yes, that happened.
Let's do it. Oh, no, Rika's the one who said it was overwhelming, though.
That was a strange moment. I don't know how to feel about that.
I liked it.
It was okay. It was a little overwrought.
So this first... So now we're going to watch Fox Kids commercials. One of these is not Fox Kids, though.
What?
Oh, my God. I think we watched ones before they weren't Fox Kids. But,
is one of them a Jetix commercial?
Yeah, I was about to say, is it Jetix?
No, it's like for a toy, so it's not for the anime. Oh. Yeah, so the first one is for episodes 36 and 37, so there's going to be some repeat of the Beelzebub stuff, but they aired together, so here we go.
Today on Fox Kids, it's the ultimate showdown between the Tamers and the Terror. The battle
Tamers and the Terror.
Beelzebub versus Galatmon in their final fight.
It's an episode Galatmon?
Galatmon! When the Tamers face the deadliest Deva of all. Ready to rumble, they take him on his home turf. Big mistake. Who will step up to save the team?
Wow, this takes out the tension of who's gonna win the Galatmon.
Yeah.
Hi, Wargreymon, you still there?
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say, maybe they didn't show, Gilmon at all, but no, they did, yeah.
No, they totally did. He's totally fine.
I mean, to be fair, though, they did beat Beelzebub without murdering him. Like, Beelzebub's still around.
That's true. So you don't know whether Beelzebub is going to be dead.
Yeah. But also, like, losing doesn't mean that they're not in the next episode. So yeah, that was something. Yeah, I guess, Ash, we would do... I think we did watch, for 309, the Galatmon thing. That's your first time hearing it. Galatmon.
Yeah.
Galatmon.
That was my first time.
Okay, so this next commercial is for episode 39. I couldn't find one for episode 38, which I don't know what's up with that.
Which one was 38?
38 was the one where they just have like the presidential debate and the kids watch.
Zulongmon explains it all.
Yeah. Sounds boring. Maybe that's why they didn't give it a commercial.
I'm sure it had a commercial like that just wasn't saved. You know, like they couldn't have like not aired a commercial that week. There's a weird thing. I think this is the last 36 and 37 together, which were the last of last week's, last episode and the first of this time, were the last time that the episodes were aired in two chunks. So these were actually where it aired week to week. So interesting. Anyway, okay, here's the next one. So 39.
Next Saturday on Fox Kids, from the pit it rises. The ultimate force, the weapon supreme. Its goal, destruction. Chaos. Chaos. Who can oppose it? Chaos. Chaos. Who can stop it?
Chaos. What is happening?
Wait, wait, wait. So could everyone hear the like chaos, chaos? Like the, like, yeah, the reverberation? Yes. Like, oh my
that
god.
That happened.
Wait, can we try I that? Suppose. Ashley. So like what? As soon as I say like when I finish like the k sound, you say the k sound, okay? So like
I'll try.
Okay. Chaos.
Chaos.
No, way too late.
I don't think Skype lag is gonna let you guys do this.
No. I can do it in post. What if
yeah,
we all
you
just
could
say,
do it in post.
Can we all just say chaos
or you
dramatically?
And Ashley could share a microphone for a second.
No, let's all just say chaos dramatically. Okay. Chaos.
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 I'll make some cool effects with that.
Chaos. 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 Chaos.
Chaos control.
Who says that?
I feel like
Shadow.
this commercial highlighted what I don't like about this enemy, which is just like, who can fight chaos? Exactly.
Nobody
who can fight chaos. This is
annoying. Aggravating.
So the next one is for episode 40, which was that was the boring one. That was one where they're just like going back to the flag for most of it, or like deciding to go back to the flag.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I've totally figured. I watched the trailer a couple hours ago, so I can't forget what it even is.
Next Saturday on Fox Kids, the digital world's about to explode. The Tamers are stranded, and time's up. Who will save the team?
Music hot.
What's possessing Jerry? Will the fate of two worlds depend on
well, show. We didn't find that out.
Spoilers. Tag your spoilers.
Super spoilery.
It also is just like, that's not answered in the episode. Like,
yeah.
It's introduced.
Exactly.
Like, I think it also is the first episode where she even starts doing the puppet talking thing. So, like, it's like, yeah, they introduce the fact that she's possessed or there are signs of her possession and just spoil it. Like, wow, that was, wow.
Way to go, commercial.
It could have been like, why is Jerry being so creepy? Like,
yeah, really.
Why are Jerry's eyes drawn like this?
Why does no one notice?
Why does nobody notice?
Okay, so this is the next one. Is one that is not a Fox Kids commercial, because it is a toy commercial. So, here we go.
Already uninterested.
Whoa! Evil Digimon are coming, and we've got to stop them!
Oh, this toy.
Only problem is, they get fiercer in each world!
Wow!
Whoa!
You're in world 13,
that kid's
but I can
just
beat
pressing
it with
buttons
my
that
new
are
deep
doing
power.
Nothing.
Yeah, right. I know!
Maximum power! Watch this. The deep power hooks up to my PC.
Oh boy,
I remember that.
I can train my Digimon and take them on the internet to battle my friends all over the world.
We never got it to work. This never works.
The new deep power Digivice can be sold separately. Batteries not included. Need prayer permission.
Oh, that's the version. So I paused it on the last image of show is the stuff you get with it, which is the deep power, the disc, the connector cable, and a card, I guess. Like a card to swipe.
Yeah.
But like when I struggled for like years to find my parents' house my deep power Digivice. I can't find it, but I can find that connector cable, that blue connector cable. I'm like, I definitely had this. This is definitely from the Digivice.
Mm-hmm.
No Digivice
inside. We still
have
them.
So the thing that frustrates you is a very personal thing and not the fact that CD doesn't work.
Did it not work at all?
I don't know. We never got it to work.
Oh.
I don't think we managed to figure it out, like, how to connect to the internet or whatever it was supposed to do. Like, it just never worked.
Now that I think about it, I do remember having lots of trouble with it. I think I did eventually get it to work, like, once, and then I spent, like, months trying to find that toy. Like, we went to, like, every Target in sight. I don't know if it was Target at the time, but, like, I remember, like, traveling a bunch, like, going to Florida and Maine and stuff with my mom, and, like, every time we would like pass a big store like a Target, we'd be like, okay, we need to go and see if they have it. And none of them had it. And I don't understand like how people got these toys if like we went to so many places and struggled for so long to get it.
We got it at
Toys R Us
in New York.
Yeah, the big one.
Actually, that's how we all got all the Digimon Digivices.
Maybe I couldn't find any Digivice or Digimon toys in Florida because you guys took them all.
We didn't get it in Florida.
I'm sure you got other Digivice toys there.
I don't know. Digimon's notoriously hard to find when they're in stores.
I mean, it makes sense now and like Fusion Era and stuff. Like, I'm surprised. I guess Tamers was like, they were starting to decline at that point, popularity.
Well, actually, Fusion was pretty easy to find.
Huh.
Just, it sold horribly.
Surprised people stocked it then.
No, but like, I could never find the Data Squad toys.
Okay, so this next one, I wrote down question... Oh, right, now I remember what this is. Okay. Okay, yeah, this one is interesting. This one is something. Definitely something.
Should we just go in?
Hey, someone's here! Huh?
Matrix Digivolution.
That is too dramatic. So ominous.
Digimon, next on Fox Kids.
That was really creepy.
Oh my gosh.
Your Digivice.
Your heart is your Digivice.
Your heart.
I like it. I like that.
I'm surprised. Like, they aired that. Like, they had like 30 seconds of just like ominous music on like in a commercial. Like, I'm surprised.
I mean, but it's a good surprise.
I don't know if it's that effective of a commercial though.
No, and like the shots they used of the Digimon going into Matrix or Biomerge Digivolution are really creepy. Mm. Like, they're creepy in the show, and they're creepy. Without context.
At least not as creepy as though like the Digivolution, the champions, where they're just like their skins getting ripped off.
I think that commercial would be effective if you were like, I don't know about this Digimon thing. I mean, if you're into that type of tone of like dark, right, weird crap, like
yeah. I would have been creeped out.
And actually, that must have been around the time that like Escaflowne and stuff were on, right? Like the end of
when was
Tamers?
This?
I mean, this would have been the second half of like the.
I mean, Escaflowne only aired for like 9 episodes.
Oh, it's a bad show.
No, I think they got to episode like 13 or something, and it's where the doppelganger like sucks out somebody's soul and becomes that person. And I think they were like, this is like, there's a line that will be crossed that we cannot cross with this episode. Just stop.
Being a Digimon tamer is so new to me. I have so many unanswered questions.
Yay!
Yay!
Why? Why is my unanswered question?
Doshite desu ka?
Okay.
Naze?
Okay, so they talk about how Calamon was not a Digimon before. He was the Catalyst. And they're like, hey, Calamon, you can say Digimon if you want. And he's like, yeah, that's cool. And I'm like, but what? Like, did the Catalyst have thoughts and sentience before? Could it talk? Is Calamon, like, just totally biased? Of course he wants to stay a Digimon. Like, what?
Oh, you think that there's... Wait, now I'm really confused. I remember this being a talking point. Like, I'm having weird deja vu. Like, I remember having this talking point about, like, what Calamon would choose to do.
What?
Was there some other thing we were talking about where it was, like, a Digimon that, like, had choice of, like, who to save or something? No? Doesn't make any sense. Oh, I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know. I think you're thinking about it too much, Ashley.
Isn't that the point of unanswered questions?
There are bigger holes to grok.
That was the one that I was like, I don't understand. But please, do tell me about your bigger holes, Jeffrey.
How was Susie able to watch video of Lopmon from a Digivice? Like, there were whole, like, episodes where Gilmon was separated from Picardo and they couldn't do that. But Susie's just like,
They kind of did it on the roof thing that one episode where they first met the Tiger Deva.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, that one's answered.
Check mark. Well, it doesn't explain why they didn't do it while they were separated in the digital world.
I mean, it's not consistent. It's
consistency. Why would we want something like
that? I'm just saying that the show has shown that this can happen before.
Okay, the big one, we mentioned it in passing before, but like, seriously, how does no one notice Jerry's eyes? Like, just look at her eyes. Like,
okay, well, what I always struggle with in these types of things is like, okay, they're drawing her eyes creepy to us, like, how much as the audience. Literal? Yeah, like, how much is that is just, like, a representation for the audience versus what the characters in the world see? But then it's still weird because you're like, how am I supposed to make that disconnect? Like, how am I supposed to know at all times?
Right, I guess if you assume there isn't a giant gaping plot hole, then you have to assume, like, she doesn't actually literally look like that. But, like... It's a represent, and like, I guess like anime eyes never look literally like human eyes, so like there's always a suspension of disbelief in that regard. But what you're saying about eyes, like, it reminds me a lot of the protagonist of Blood Blockade Battlefront. I mean, it has a very common anime trope thing. Most commonly, I think people would know of, like, Brock's eyes from Pokemon, where, like, his eyes are, like, you know, slit. Or not slit. They're just lines. Like, his eyes are constantly closed. And for Brock, that's, like, for Brock and characters that who just have them always closed and it's not really a plot point, it's, I think you can just, like, disconnect, like, okay, that's just how their eyes work. Like, they're, you know, maybe so narrow that you don't really see them much, or, like, exaggerated or whatever. And they can do funny gags. Like, I think there's an episode where Brock opens his eyes and it's like, it looks really weird and whatever. But, like, that's just a funny gag. I'm not really supposed to think about that, like, literally. But the, like, protagonist of Blood Bowl Cape Battlefront, his, like, power is that he, when he opens his eyes, he has, like, these magical eyes that are all seeing eyes, and they have, like, really magical properties. And when he opens them, like, it's very, like, you both see what his eyes look like when he opens them, and they look, like, crazy magical. And you see from his perspective when he opens them, and they have this, like, crazy magical effects and whatever. And I'm like, so when he doesn't have them open, is he just walking around with his eyes closed? Or is it just, like, the anime eyes are actually open, but they look like they're closed thing? Like, does he have them in a, like, a partially open state that looks like they're closed? And then he opens them wider and they activate? Like, it was just...
He just has eyes like me, where they always look closed.
Do they?
Especially when you smile in photos.
I need to check this in a photo.
Yeah, like, when I smile in photos, my eyeballs disappear. Even when they're open.
I guess it also reminds me of, kind of a spoiler alert for, what's it called? Ergoproxy? Ergoproxy, there's a character who has their eyes look like they're always closed. And then there's a transformation where they're not closed anymore. But that definitely feels like it's like, he looks cooler, so now his eyes are open. Your eyes don't look like, maybe a little bit.
Are you doubting my Asian status?
Well, I guess it depends, like, how wide the smile is.
I mean, I can, if I try really hard, I can smile with my eyes wide open. but it's difficult.
Do you think there, like, there are societal consequences to the entire digital world having lots of stratified different levels of digivolution and stuff, them all just becoming megas? Like, shouldn't that upset the society?
It's socialism.
It's communism, actually.
Yeah, it's true. It is communism. No, they all live in peaceful harmony.
Yeah, with all those Diaboroma.
Yeah. They're just cool. Okay, this is... Okay. So, Azulongmon, he is initially said, like, his initial plan was to hide Digilution, to hide Calumon. I guess it wasn't. Like, he, I guess he, like, they implies that he wished it from the Diginomes or whatever, that to hide the power of Digilution in a Digimon and hide the Digimon so that they would, the digital world would seem like less of a threat to the D-Reaper or whatever. And Zhu Chaomon is saying that they need to Digivolve further in order to fight back. And Azulongmon says, no, we need to stop Digivolving. That's going to make things even worse. And then once they reclaim Calumon, Azulong says, Calumon, activate your Digilution and evolve everyone. And it's just like, what? Azulong, what do you do? What?
We don't look for consistency around these parts.
Oh, it just, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty frustrating. I guess I always found the Azulongmon saying that Digivolution was a problem and they need to stop Digivolving is a, like, I think our message is never stop Digivolving. Like, it's not something we agree with politically, so.
Never stop Digivolving!
Your differences! Why did Takato get 5 lunchboxes? Or bento boxes or whatever?
I thought it was 4.
No, he had 5!
He had 5.
Counted.
There were what? 5 of them.
No, there
I
weren't.
Didn't believe you.
For the trip back, maybe.
Oh, maybe. So there was Takato, Jerry, Gilmon, and Calumon. Was, like, one of them for Leomon? Because that's really depressing.
No, I assumed he was giving 1 to, like, 2 to Gilmon or something.
Yeah.
Well, that confused me because didn't Gilmon ask for 2? And then he was like, no. Like, he made it seem like it was, like, obvious who the 5th one was for. I guess we'll never know.
Did he make that obvious?
5th one was for Jesus. Make room for Jesus.
Well, he also went late at night, right?
Yeah.
So maybe just in case they wanted more on the way back, he just got an extra one.
But he wasn't going back. He was staying with his aunt, who was also there, supposedly, which in the direction I'm doing, but that's what he said to his mom.
Oh, yeah. I'm just like, why does... Like, they make it seem like, oh, Jerry's all alone. That's really sad if somebody else takes her to her parents. And I'm like, I disagree, but all right.
I mean, it's like a 3-hour train ride, so they really didn't communicate that well in the dub. I think in the Japanese, just assume viewers know where Matsumoto and where Tokyo is, so they know how far it is, but in the dub, it's just like, at first I was like, are they just taking the train to like a different part? Are they taking her to like a normal house? I guess they did mention that her family was away, but for, okay.
I mean, they implied that it was not where she had left from.
Right,
that,
but like,
that much was clear.
At first I was like, is this another part of Tokyo? And like, no, it's actually like in a different prefecture. It's significantly far away. It's in Nagano. Like,
I just don't understand. I don't, whatever.
I'm just wondering, like, why would did her... So, okay, I understand there's, like, you know, not as much affection from her family towards Jerry as there should be, right? But, like, mm-hmm. when your child goes missing, why would you leave the city and go with your relative? Like, what? Like...
Well, I thought it was because it was the
they were evacuated.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. That's a yeah. That's
it's not because of her.
Compelling. Yeah. Okay. Well, no, I thought it was like, you know, like you're gonna miss her.
Like
she
they
shows
went
back
on vacation.
It's like Home Alone.
They were like, finally, we got rid of that girl. Great, let's go.
Well, her stepmom seems okay.
Her stepmom. Her that was really point like, when the stepmom is like, "Oh my God, we're so afraid you lost you," and oh, that was really they reunited. It was really sad. Stray Bits. So, new Digimon. Anything to say about the new Digimon?
Sukuyamon is the best, but why do we have to look at Rika's boobs when she's 10?
Are they Rika's boobs or Renamon's boobs? That's the existential question.
Okay, well, why does Renamon have boobs?
Because she's a girl Digimon. Why do they have heels? I don't know. Because Digimon apparently know shoes and... gender norms.
Miko mode is worse.
Oh man, just looking at the like, I guess it's a card from the like Crusaders card game. That's just like, oh man, hold on. No, it's from like Digimon Collectors. I don't know what this is. I'm pasting it in Slack. And it's just like her butt prominently displayed.
Butts.
Ugh. Yeah, there were a lot of Digimon this episode. And in these episodes, there were the three new sovereigns that we haven't seen the anime before. There was Azulamon, who we've seen in season two. The two new Mega Garumon and Tsukuyamon. Also a bunch of, like, when they just had Mega Digimon flying in, there were a bunch of them that we haven't seen the anime before. Including, like, Hoemon, Poseomon, and who are, like, Mega forms of the original kids. And, yeah, I don't know. Monogimon's cute.
Okay, I do have an unanswered question. Why? Okay. If Ryo had trouble controlling Cyberdramon, why? If he could always de-digivolve to Monodramon, why didn't he just do that?
I don't know, though. I guess that was, like, because of the magic of the arc, and it wasn't a normal thing he could do.
What? What kind of answer is that?
Yeah, it was like the arc forced him to. Like, I don't know why, but like, sure, yeah.
Because it don't have much size in there.
Also,
yeah, space.
Like,
yeah.
Who called Ryo's parents?
Yeah, I was like, what
I the... really wanted nobody to be there for Ryo.
But there was, and it doesn't make sense.
I mean, there's like several levels of that not making sense. Like, the fact that Ryo has parents in this universe calls into question continuity from the games. Yeah, like there are theories, but it's never expounded on the games as far as I recall. And so, like, it could be that his parents are brought over from the alternate dimension. It could be foster parents, or like,
no, it's like alternate versions of his original parents.
Does the games ever?
So basically,
do they ever actually saw that?
But like, who knew that Ryo was
right.
there?
Yeah, like, that's the more important level. Is like, how did they know to call him? Like, call their parents? Yeah.
Yeah.
Marine Angemon in Kata and Kenta's pants. That was weird. That was a thing.
Yeah, that sure was a thing.
That was a thing, all right.
Is there a Digimon in your pocket, or are you happy to see me?
Oh, boy. I think I briefly mentioned this before, but I really appreciate the debate between Shuchamon and Zulongmon being a, you know, like a logical, there has to be a better word for this, like a thing that would actually happen. Like in fiction, not like I don't want to keep saying logical because that sounds like I'm a MRA kind of person, but like the something that like is a thing that would actually happen or feels natural. Maybe natural is what I'm looking for. Okay,
so realistic.
Like the debate between Chuchaman and Zulama just feels very natural. Like it feels like in there are lots of different ways you can info dump, and they felt like having them actually argue these points and then have the kids like discussing what they thought of, like, oh, what's that word, and they keep saying this thing, and that was actually like, it felt natural and realistic and logical. I am really frustrated. I guess we've had it for a while, but the the Deus Ex Machina Digivolutions, they can't get to Ultimate or they can't get to Mega unless they happen to have a thing or like, you know, like the blue cards. They seem to have solved the blue cards at this point. They can just like, whenever they want it, they can have a blue card come out. But like, there were multiple points in episodes where they were like, we need to fight. Why can't we activate our bioemerge? Oops, we can't do it. Oh no. And it's just like, it's frustrating because it's like, it's so, there's no real reason provided to the audience for why things can't happen. They just don't happen. And narrative perspective, it's just like super convenient because you'd be like, oh yeah, we can just write that out as a possibility all the time, whatever. And that's frustrating. But it reminds me of, had similar frustrations about the opposite, the like purely mechanic driven Digivolution in 02 at the end, where like there wasn't any kind of emotional catharsis or anything. It was just, they got a Digicore, now they can Digivolve. Cool, they have it, they don't have it, or whatever. Like, this is the, both of them are the extremes, and go back to somewhere in the middle, please.
Yeah. Shipping.
Shipping.
The ship is...
Was there shipping?
Jerry ship, the Rika Jerry ship is so real.
Jerry wasn't even in these episodes.
I don't care. Rika cares so much about her. No.
Oh,
but, like, Rika, like, did all of that for Jerry. Like,
yeah.
Jeez. That's impressive. And then, I mean, Takato.
I wonder if she has more dialogue while Renamon was Rika was having her moment in the pit of, like, I'm doing this for Jerry, but because it didn't really feel like that should have been there, and it wasn't.
Also, I mean, Takato, he actually confessed his love.
Yeah, that's literally, yeah, okay, yeah. That.
Yeah, that was, like, actually a thing that happened.
that was, like, you know, kind of desperately sinking a ship, or not, but, like, there are many holes in that ship now that...
Yes.
Or sad.
Yes, but like his confession was actually very good. Like,
yeah.
I like you a lot. That was really sweet.
I was all like, oh,
he just wanted her to be happy.
It was sweet, but it was also frustrating, the timing. Because, like,
yeah, the timing was bad.
When a girl is depressed, you don't make them less depressed by hitting on them.
Right, but like, I mean, it wasn't even that he was hitting on her. It was like, no, I actually like you and I want you to be happy.
Yeah, I know, but like,
but it was.
I feel like he also did it partially for like, if I say something shocking, will you like talk to me? But no.
Well, yeah, that too, probably. But I think it was also choreographed really well when he went to the other chair.
Yeah. I mean, it did cause her to read nutritional information out loud.
That's true. Yeah, she did say things out loud.
It did do that. That happened.
Progress.
Have we ever seen Ryo's Digivice before? I guess we must have.
Yeah, he swiped the card.
Yeah.
He swiped the card.
This is the first time I noticed it. And I was like, it looks really cool. It's all like, I think everyone else has the same white plastic, but he has a different color plastic around everything.
Of course, because he's special.
Yeah.
He's special.
Okay, Ashley.
Yay.
Wait, hold on.
We've got to do some singing. Exactly.
This is a question I had, open question. Did Impmon and Jerry have any interaction before they went to the digital world?
Impmon and Jerry?
Yeah.
Not any significant interaction that I can remember.
Yeah, I can't remember anything.
I don't think so.
Because I really appreciate what they've done in terms of... Like, there was a specific point of how when Leomon intervened with the Beelzemon fight, that Leomon was like, I don't know anything about you. Like, everyone else has invested in this debate. And he's just like, I don't know anything about you, but here's what I think from a neutral stance, whatever. There was a point in not having an existing relationship, and that made it arguably more sad, whatever. But, or made it more logical that Beelzemon would feel okay killing him because he didn't have a connection. But, like, now, I feel like there's so much of a parallel between Imman's situation and Jerry's. Like, they're both completely alone.
I think that was on purpose.
Oh, yeah. But, like, I think it's kind of masterful how that's been set up now, like, that they are such similar situations, and I would not have seen that coming at all. And they seem to come from such different places before. And now when they get to the real world, they both are there walking off. They're not walking. I mean, Jerry doesn't walk off on her own, but like, Emma walks off his own and like, both of them have family that exists in the area, but are just not able to show the right kind of love for them. And they're not there, not present. Like, Emma does, like, the kids are still around, but they're not, you know, cognizant of what's going on or anything, of him or whatever, to be there. And Jerry's family is away. And
I'm sort of surprised he hasn't had a moment with Susie. She's about the right age.
Yeah.
A little older, I guess.
That would, like, you think that would at least trigger some memories of the kids and be, like, make
especially
him, like, angry
with
or something.
How grabby she is.
Yeah.
Itmon and Susie should have been a team.
No. Okay, this is from last arc, and maybe you guys talked about it, but... Okay, so first of all, what happened? When did Takata get his Digivice back? Did I just like look away for a second and it came back?
I think you did. Yeah.
Okay. Just comes back. All right. Then my other question is, why didn't Jerry?
It's golden now. It's not like there was a whole thing about it becoming gold instead of red, or like getting a new one back as gold.
I missed it.
I think it's just the same one. That just read whatever.
So why? Okay, so Takato didn't have a Digivice and he became a Digimon. And Jerry didn't have a Digimon and she had a Digivice. So like, why didn't Jerry become Gallantmon's tamer is what I want to know.
Why? Wait.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, and then Takato would be stuck inside permanently and like.
Yeah, I don't think he'd mind.
Hmm.
I mean, yeah, obvious question to ask.
Obvious.
Good observation.
Obviously, it should
happen. Ridiculous dialogue drop, where we each go around and pick our top two funniest, most ridiculous, or most touching lines from the episodes. It's a sports draft.
Not a sports draft.
You get to vote on who wins the Hunger Games.
All right, it's Ashley, Andrew, Asher, and then Jeff.
I get to go first. Oh my god.
Ashley gets to go first.
What am I going to pick? Okay, I'm going to pick, this is from episode 37, and it is, I'm trying to think of how to set up the scene without, whatever. Susie flies away to go be with Henry and whoever. And so it's between Kazu and Gargamon.
She flew away? Are you kidding me? But how? You were supposed to be watching her.
I watched the whole thing.
That's not what I meant, you big doofus.
I loved all of Gargamon's lines in that episode. Like, I'm so glad that he has been added to this team. He provides a vital.
He does literally nothing except be funny.
And that is important.
Actually, I just realized that my claim that Cyberdigimon was Digivolved because it like needed to go to Rookie to go inside the arc is invalid because Gargamon and Mariangemon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what did Gargamon, like, what does Gargamon even go to?
Well, I think Side, though, maybe.
Hmm? What?
Yeah, Gargamon's pretty big, though.
Gargamon is pretty big. He should not have fit inside of that
thing. I don't know. Kyubimon also Digivolved when jumping through it. I don't know. I don't.
That would have been cute if I'm looking at the forms that can digivolve into Gargamon and various things, and would have been cute if it was a Toyagamon or a Hagurumon.
It would probably be a Hagurumon, though.
Yeah,
but we already saw Hagurumon.
Oh, yeah.
Sadly.
They were frustrating.
Okay, I'm gonna go with episode 37, and Gaomon says after the bubble thing,
"At least we'll be destroyed in comfort."
I was waiting for the punchline.
I didn't even hear that. I didn't even hear
that.
Yeah,
I don't even
that.
Remember this happening.
I mean, it sounds like something he'd say, but...
He did say it, though.
I trust you.
Like, I was watching with a friend, and he told me to write that down.
It was funny. Good work.
So you were bullied into it.
Let's see. Okay, I'm going to go with episode 37, quote 2. And this is Gargamon. He's talking to Kazu, of course. And he says,
"Once you start dating, I'm sure you'll make many girls sad."
Just so cheerfully. It's the best thing ever. I was like, thank you, Gargamon. You're correct.
I had that written down, but I would have included the line before it to make sense.
Well, I had that written down, but I had the whole thing written down.
Okay, well, you can put the whole thing in.
"I haven't even started dating. I've got to deal with two sad girls. Once you start dating, I'm sure you'll make many girls sad."
What?
Sick burn.
Mine's also in episode 37, because apparently that was the only one with funny things.
Wasn't the only funny one things with funny things, but it's the only one with Gargamon dialogue.
So this one is when they're in the bubble and talking about... Rika is, I guess, talking about how Takato is revealing how they had communication with the parents and how he had lied and pretended to be Rika. And Rika's frustrated because she's like, "Oh no, like you wrote as me." But anyway, so Takato, I think, reflects back and realizes that he signed her message with a heart.
A heart? Well, even a smiley face would have been better.
Yeah, that's what I put, a smiley face.
You used a smiley face? Are you kidding me?
I would have picked that.
Yeah, it was a good episode. I mean, like, for quotes.
Yeah, not for much else, but...
Jeff's
watch out. What?
Not for much else.
Not for much else.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, is it my turn again? Is that what we're back to?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I picked something from episode 38...
Whoa.
Wait,
there's an episode 38? I just watched episode 37.
I don't remember what's happening.
Who says
it? Kazu and Kenta. I think it's that they're still separated, and Azulongmon is fighting with Chuchaomon or whatever, showing up.
Kazu, what's that big blue cloud? Obviously, some kind of blue cloud.
Yeah, I have this one written down, too.
Just like girls, to steal my quotes, Ashley.
I'm going to go with the interaction between Gargemon and Susie.
Okay.
So Susie's, like, climbing up to a higher point for God knows what.
You sure that's safe?
No.
Okay.
I have that one written down, too. Gargemon's the best, guys.
Gargemon is the best. We should have picked him as our favorite character. You know what?
Yeah.
Gargemon.
Gargemon. Okay. All right. So this one is from episode 38. And, all right. So Lopmon and Susie are talking. I guess this is after Susie gets there. I don't really remember the context for this, actually.
It's a big mystery. I only hope we're around to solve it. Why wouldn't we? Oh.
And this is, like, during the fight. I'm pretty sure, while everything is dying around them, going up in flames.
All right, be more dramatic about it.
I will.
Flame Dramons.
Yes.
So, only one I have left, because my rightful inheritance was stolen from me. Quote that was rightfully mine. Okay. I need to reevaluate. Okay. This one's episode 38, and it's John Yu talking. And he's complaining to the other monster makers, and he says,
"This stupid piece of junk sure takes its time processing. I'll be an old man before it's done. Don't say it."
Oh, yeah.
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 Well, honestly, the joke is later on.
Well, yeah. And then the other dude is like, I don't remember exactly what he said. He's like,
I'm not going to say anything,
but...
No, he's like, I would never say something.
How could you possibly get any older, you fossil?
Nah, not that funny. My part's
aren't
better.
Aren't they all college friends?
Yeah, they're all the same age. They're not that old. Like, they're...
Right. Although, John, you definitely looks the oldest.
I was wondering if there's a little bit racistly stereotypifying of, like... John Yu having the white strands in his hair.
I don't think it's racist so much as people with dark hair, like gray hairs, just show up.
Really?
Better. Yeah. I mean, I've had gray hair since I was 10.
So we've reached the end of another arc. It's the end of the Digital World arc, and we're never going back to the Digital World. The Digital World's over. No more Digital World ever in Digimon. Like we started recently doing, worthwhile to go around and talk about our highlights, our low points, and how the arc compares to previous arcs. So, start with highlights. Ashley, what was your highlights in this arc?
I guess Beelzemon fight.
Yeah, that's my answer too. My second answer was Rika saving Beelzemon from these episodes.
Yeah, no.
I was hoping my talking would stall enough for other people to answer, but that did not work at all.
No, because what even happened before the Beelzemon fight?
They got lost a lot. There was Babamon and Gigimon.
There was the flag.
Oh, that was still part of this arc?
Wait, let me go through it. So they landed. There was the, how did they get split up? There was the episode where they're walking around and they meet like the
Yeah,
Marimon.
Okay, all right. I remember. Up. I remember that crap.
Babamon, Gigimon, Ryo. Ryo's your favorite, right?
Yeah. I guess the highlight for me was actually seeing some episodes I've never seen before or have no recollection of. Like I have never seen what was the name of when Growlmon went bad?
Megidramon.
What is that called? Megidramon. I've never seen that thing before. Cause that was the highlight for me.
Andrew.
Of the whole entire arc?
The entire Digital World arc. Silence. Andrew did not like it, Sam. I am.
I mean, the one that always stands out to me is the Gigimon and Babamon episode.
Wow.
Like, that's the only thing I really remember.
That's impressive. Huh.
But that's also where I left off last time I tried watching it in Japanese.
Okay, let's all say... It's okay, think about your answer to this question. So, but don't say it. And then we're going to say it, like, I'll count and we'll say it at the same time. So what is our low point of the arc? Okay, so tell me when you're ready and you have it in your mind.
Okay.
Is everyone ready?
No.
Come on, Andrew. Come on.
I don't know.
Okay, we're just going to go. Okay, when I hit zero, we're going to say it. Okay, three,
okay.
Two, one. Rio!
Rio,
data streams.
For me, it was Kazu more than Rio.
Good for you, Asher.
Yeah, I got to be different.
Someone's the data streams.
Milkshakes.
But they're no longer on the show because they got picked up by Datastream, carried away.
Milkshakes.
Milkshakes?
Yep.
But they bring all the Digimon to the pond.
I mean, yeah, they do.
So it wasn't actually low point for you at all, was it, Ashley?
That episode is crack.
You think it's a joke, Ashley? You think you can joke about these things? This is a very serious podcast.
Very serious.
Did anyone expound on why their low point was so low?
I don't need to.
Because data streams are a plot device, and I hated it.
Rio's also a plot device, which I hated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, half the time you can ignore Rio.
He insists on appearing alongside my precious Rika, and I do not like it.
Yeah, but at least he only appears for, like, a portion of the digital world arc.
I know, but now he's here forever, right? Like, that's how this is going down.
I actually don't remember. Like, I know he has a pivotal, you know, integration later on. I
think he disappears for a while.
Yeah, I think he's gone for a couple episodes and then comes back and then is important again.
This boy is so annoying. God!
So how does the arc compare to... We've had three arcs so far. The Wild Ones was the first 13 episodes. Then there was the Tokyo Divas from episode 14 to 24, 11 episodes. And then Digital World arc was 17 episodes. So it's the longest one. That's, we can say for sure. But
that's a
thing. That's a fact. A fact-based podcast.
Oh, yeah, totes.
If I had to rank it, yeah. I don't know how I'd rank it.
Wow, it's such an anticlimax. These tough questions. I feel like this is the strongest arc overall still, though. So I'd have to put it first, and then Davis second, and then the beginning last.
It's definitely better than the Guillaumon Don't Do That arc.
Yeah, the Guillaumon Don't Do That arc just can stay there forever.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that assessment.
I think I'd do... I don't know. Like, I feel like I had a similar problem ranking arcs at the end of Adventure, where I was like, when I look back at, I look back from afar at these, I don't like any of them that much, but not like I dislike the show. I love the show, but like, I think I maybe just think about the negatives too much or something. I don't know.
Well, like, I think it's that when we think about the arc, we're thinking about the, like, narrative structure, which Digimon has always sucked at. We don't like it for that. We like it for fights and little character things and bad jokes.
We like it because we want Digimon.
That too.
Buy our toys.
Yeah.
On exorbitant eBay prices.
I feel like, I guess I put Digital World first, then Wild Ones, then Tokyo Divas. I mean, they all have highlights that, yeah. I'm almost like, even though I came up with this question, I'm almost like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to sort them like this because... They all vary so much within the thing. Like, I don't want to compare, you know, like, the worst of the Digital World episodes and say that's better than the best of the Wild Ones or the Tokyo Divas, you know, like, but that's how patterns work. That's how labeling things works. Yeah.
Sold us.
So, did we all put Digital World first?
Yes.
Angie, did you list yours?
So.
I don't really know, but I'll just go with what you guys said.
I said something different.
What they said.
Oh, I see how it is.
Yeah, that is how it is.
Recommendation articulation, where we each go around and share something that we've been enjoying recently or not. Do I want to recommend people?
Okay, since a tragedy happened today, and I know this episode is coming out later, but it doesn't matter. I recommend that if you are upset, or even if you like guns, like whatever, write to your congresspeople. You have power. They are here to serve us. So let your opinion be known. Don't fight on Facebook with your family because they suck and they don't have any power. Unless they are also writing their congresspeople. So you can look up your senators at www.senate.gov/senators/contact. House of Representatives, www.house.gov/representatives/find. There's also Every Town for Gun Safety, which is everytown.org. You can consider donating money. That's my recommendation to you.
Thank you.
Yes.
We will have a link in the show notes. You now need to spell out the URL and...
It's important to have both.
You do not need to, if you are listening, we'll have a link. Just go to podedges.com/310.
Cool, cool. That's what you get for making me go first.
Well, who's going next?
The canonical order is US.
Canonical.
I don't know if I've done anything fun.
That Utena movie, plug it.
What?
Plug the Utena movie. Utena.
Oh, yeah. All right. Okay, all right. Okay. So Revolutionary Girl Utena, if you have somehow not heard of it in your life, is sort of the lesbian anime anthem of our generation. It follows the story of Utena Tenjo, who is not pronounced correctly in the dub. I do not recommend the dub, by the way, although she is voiced by Misty from Pokemon, so that's kind of interesting.
That'll mess with your mind.
Yeah, we didn't realize until later on in the series, and then once we realized we couldn't unhear it, yeah. Kind of amazing. kept expecting her to, like, ask somebody for her bike. There is a bike in the series. There are also cars.
Lots of cars.
Duels. And, there's incesty stuff and some, like, sexual weirdness. So, like, watch out for that.
Trigger warning.
Oh, there are so many trigger warnings. Please be careful when you watch the show. But it is a very good show. And when you're done, you can watch the movie, which is full of cars. And, okay. Yeah.
It's a movie, all right.
It sure is a movie. Anyway, this was not a great rec, but I also assume that most people have heard of this, and it is good, and you should check it out if you haven't. Or if it's been a long time, you should check it out as an adult, because it's very different when you actually understand what's going on. I'm done. Makes it Andrew's turn for going by the canonical order.
The canonical order of what?
Of us doing things in order.
Okay, I guess I'm going to do the newest Kirby game, which finally came out in the U.S. It's been out for like a month in Japan, I guess. Basically, it is Kirby with robots.
You've sold me. You've sold me.
But it's basically, it's called Kirby Planet Robobot. Kirby Planet Robobot. Basically, gasp, another alien invasion or something, but it's robots. And then they mechanize everything, so all the Kirby enemies are now mechanized, sort of. But then, you can hijack a robot thing that's... It actually kind of looks like which one in Gurren Lagann is the head?
What?
Do you remember? In Gurren Lagann.
Isn't...
Simon's mech.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I think it was Gurren.
I am not actually sure.
But basically, Kirby gets a mech. It scans abilities. But the best part about this mech is that it controls so fluidly. And it's, honestly, this is the most fun I've had in a Kirby game in a while. Like this is based on the engine that they used in Kirby Triple Deluxe. But it, like, improves so much on it.
Cool.
And it's... for the 3DS, amiibo support, etc., etc.
And time. Jeff?
Okay, so I'm going to recommend a YouTube series, which is going to be really hard for me to articulate. It is called Griffin's Amiibo Corner. I think it's officially hosted by Polygon, which does not make sense if you go watch it. It's by Griffin McElroy, one of the brothers from My Brother and Brother and Me, which is also a really good podcast. You should check out if you haven't heard of it. But yeah, Griffin's Amiibo Corner... how to explain it. He reviews amiibos, but
the
perfect level of perfectly encapsulating really amateurish YouTube videos. So it's just great. And if I tried to explain the things that make it funny, it would not work well. So just go watch it. They're all pretty short, a couple minutes most. And one of the things he does, recurring segment, is rate the amiibo based on how well he can fit it in his mouth. So he ends the review by being like, okay, let me put it in my mouth. It didn't fit in, so lower rating, whatever. It's great. It's common YouTube series. It's best. Go check it out. You can find the full show notes of this episode by going to podages.com/310. If you have any comments on what we talked about this episode, wish we talked about something more, or want to know our thoughts about anything, you can leave a comment on the episode page or email podages@gmail.com.
There are also lots of other things you can do for next week's feedback episode. Rate the episodes we covered on the show notes page. Vote on your favorite RDD clip on the show notes page so we can declare winner of the draft. Leave a voicemail of 90 seconds or less answering our question of the week. Who's more shoehorned in, Ryo or the D-Reaper? You can either call 913-CALUMON if you're in the U.S. or send an audio recording to podigious@gmail.com. And don't forget, you can always leave a review for the podcast in iTunes for us to transgarble.
And a reminder, this is the first week of our accelerated weekly release schedule, which means that we'll be releasing episode 311 next week, which means that to get feedback in for our feedback episode, which we're going to be releasing a day before 311, you need to get it in by this Sunday, August 21st. And you can always go to podigious.com and look on the sidebar on the left to see when we're recording feedback episode next.
Podigious is made possible with the support from our awesome Patreon, including Amanda Anjewoman, Andre LeDucman, David Graumann, Eric Angemon, Jack Santa Agumon, Joe Keto, Justin Blaine Davis, Kailunamon, Kaiser Washi, Sam Kruwagamon, and Stevie Padamon.
If you want to support the show on Patreon, you can get some cool rewards, like access to our private Slack chat group for $1 a month, monthly stickers for $5 a month, and early episodes for $10 a month. Reaching our next goal will allow us to make podcast episodes about movies related to Digimon. For example, Summer Wars. So check out patreon.com/podigious to help us out.
You can find Podigious on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons and get funny images and GIFs related to the show. If you don't like how we pronounce GIF, then become a Patreon so you can vote on how we pronounce it. You can find me on Tumblr as Phantom Tell Steph. Ash?
Yeah, I'm on Tumblr as Asher Dashery.
Ashley?
I'm on Twitter as AshMcD00.
And Jeff?
I'm also AshMcD00 on Twitter.
Yeah. Really now?
We've bio-merged into one Twitter account.
That's horrifying.
Okay, I'm Jeff, my Jeff on Twitter, and I'm also hurt that that is so disgusting.
Super disgusting.
I'm sorry that you're hurt. Except I'm not really that sorry.
I'm thankful that you are sorry. I'm glad we acknowledged our feelings and our identities. Our Calumon artwork is by the awesome Mary Cagle, aka Cube Watermelon, on Tumblr and Twitter.
Share the podcast with your friends who would ride a train for 3 hours to help a friend. But don't share the podcast with your friends who are racist gods.
And join us
next week
for some more fun, happy times with the D-Reaper. Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop digivolving. I mean, I am in general in favor of the idea of us having a Utna-inspired title.
A what?
Utna-inspired title. Utna.
Can we just call it Absolute Destiny Apocalypse then?
Oh my god! Yes! No, Yumi, that can work! Super fitting! Okay. Yes, that's true.
What? I don't get it.
It's the name of the thing in Utna.
What?
Have you never watched Utena, Andrew?
I only watched, like, the first four, and that was on a VHS, like, 20 yes, years ago.
I was there. It was not 20 years ago.
15.
Okay, maybe.
Okay, see, good.
Was that the song?
Was everyone
that
talking?
The song that plays when... No, it's the song that plays when she goes up the steps to duel.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
Yes. And the words are Absolute Destiny Apocalypse. That's what Zetai Mei Mokushiroku means, apparently.
According to subtitles.
What is Japanese?
I think it's correct. Zetai is absolute and Unmei is destiny, so Mokushiroku.
I've seen Zetai for Unlimited.
One. Yeah, so whatever.
Zetai Karen Children or something?
Same kind of idea.
Zetai.
Yeah, Zetai is like absolute or like all, and Unmei is like fate or destiny. It's probably the same word they're using here. Hey, let's start recording.
Recording!
Woo! Sorry, I'm trying to make a weird sound wave.
Wibble wobble?
I thought that might show up weirdly on the sound wave. So, actually, wait. I wasn't actually recording everywhere, was I?
Wow.
No, I think I was. I think it's cool. I'm glad I don't do that again. Let's test out... Wait, where is it? Ashley, what do you want to do?
We've got to do some singing.
Okay. That's what you want to do, Ashley.
I mean, yeah. You don't know.
Gilman, what do you want to do?
I in a box.
Okay, Gilman. That's strange, but okay. Cool. Let's see if music works. Can you hear it?
Yes.
Okay, and I can hear you. Asher, are you there?
Yeah.
And Andrew?
I died.
Oh, okay. That's unfortunate. This isn't the right song, is it?
That is the right song, but it sounds like an orchestral...
Yeah, it's not the proper version of the song.
It's a nicer version, actually. I kind of like it.
It says it's from Adolescence Apocalypse, or Adolescence of Uno OST.
Oh, is it from the movie?
Oh, it's from the movie.
Oh, the movie. Oh, that. I would love to make Jeffrey watch that movie without having watched any of the series. It'd be hilarious.
I mean, I watched the movie with only having seen...
Yeah, did that really help you?
I only saw it... I think I'd only seen the first four episodes before I watched the movie.
Well, the movie was easier to get than the video... I mean, the series.
I don't think that's accurate. You didn't watch the rest
means
of the series.
No,
acquire.
I mean to visually get physically.
Oh, to like obtain.
Yes.
Yes, that may be true.
Oh, yeah. I was like, Ash, why are you pushing back on this? I'm so confused. Oh, you mean like understand? Oh, okay.
No, understand.
Yeah. The movie is not easier to understand.
The movie is like, what? How, what?
I blame Blockbuster and their policy of getting, like, the first four episodes of anything.
Oh, is that how we got Utena?
Yeah.
Okay,
let's start.
Let's
do it. Let's do it to it.
What's the opposite of blow this popsicle stand? Like, let's build a popsicle stand?
Not.
Let's get down to business.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Yes. Yes, that was the reference. Thank you.
Yeah, Ash, we might be seeing Anastasia.
The
musical.
I didn't know that was a thing. Okay.
Broadway happening right now.
Cool.
There are things that happen on Broadway besides Hamilton. That's a lie.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Also, we're seeing the Takarazuka review.
Yeah, I already heard about that.
Finally, I got Raygeon.
What?
Welcome to Podigious, episode 310, Absolute Destiny Violence.
Podigious! Do-do-do-do. We're recording about tamers like we always do. And I think these episodes are pretty good, but don't know. So agrees with me. Welcome to Podigious, episode 310, Absolute Destiny Apocalypse. Podigious is your critically nostalgic, analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by my Diginomes, Ashley... Sorry. Okay.
Did you jump out?
Are you implying that we are here to do your bidding?
So I paused because I didn't mean to say my. I just meant to say Diginomes. And also I started to I almost said Ashley Ruberg or Ashley
Jesus.
Okay.
We talked about your wedding and whether or not you would have one. By the way, and if you.
Podigious is your critically nostalgic analytical tour. I slur everything. Podigious is
so
your critically nostalgic.
This. Let someone else
do it.
Podigious is your critically nostalgic analytical tour.
I don't have a response. I need to do it. Okay.
I never have one. Topical Hebrew holiday references.
What is it?
Shavuot today.
Which one's that?
It's the one where we celebrate. It's the one that we always mix up with Simchat Torah.
Obviously.
Which one's that again?
All right. So Shavuot is the one where we, like, hear the Ten Commandments read because it's the anniversary of when we got the Torah.
Allegedly.
And then Simchat Torah is when we finish reading the Torah and they unroll the whole thing around the synagogue.
Yeah, allegedly. Apparently I'm confused because, like, my bar mitzvah was on Simchat Torah. Like, I was the last passage and then the other person was the first passage, but like I could have sworn it was during Shavuot, so I guess I'm confused too.
Such a good Jew.
Yeah. Ashley, you were later friends with the other person who was doing the other half, but you didn't even show up to the ceremony, so you're the...
I was not friends with her. I was in a quartet with her.
Okay.
I was in a Same quartet thing. With her with Facebook a person friends. That I did not like very much. And whom I quit that quartet over, so no.
Yeah, but you didn't quit over her, though.
No, she was fine.
You still didn't show up to my bar mitzvah.
I came to the ceremony.
No, you came to the party. You didn't come to the ceremony.
Yeah, I came to the whatever. That's the only part that matters. Do I need to find the picture of you surrounded by only lots of girls at this party?
Anyway,
I'm gonna find it now.
Zhu Xiaoman chases the kids around in a yin yang slow
slow globe.
Zhu Xiaoman.
Wait, what did you say?
Slow globe.
I did read it before. That was just all right.
Ryo mourns the loss of his dual disc, and Rika jumps into a pit of death to avoid him, but accidentally fuses into the Shaman King. Shaman King.
You can be the one to...
Wow.
Everyone reunites with their families, except Imman and Jerry, who reunite with loneliness.
Are you okay there, Ashley?
Yeah, I'm great. Takato accompanies Jerry on a 3-hour train ride.
I wonder if I should make a Gilligan's Island joke there, because like it's a 3-hour tour. But...
Whatever. Okay, other people can express their likes or dislikes. Maybe. Express.
What was the other word? Express and what?
What?
Like, what are the two words? Express plus...
I think plus is the other one.
Oh, like add your expression? Like,
I don't know what you guys are talking about anymore.
We're talking about you, Ashley.
I mean, I got that, but I literally don't know what you're trying to
We're trying to derive the etymology of X plus.
I see.
Is it like an RPG when you get extra experience after a battle?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like this was one of the overall weaker arcs that we've watched recently.
I think overall you're one of the weaker hosts. Oh,
what?
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't say anything like that if it were anywhere near true, Ashley.
Sure you wouldn't.
She knows where you live.
Yeah, really, Jeff.
I can just put Pixel in the pile of clothes more.
You know, Jeff, I'm not going to take the rent check in tomorrow and we're going to get evicted. I blame you. And then I won't know where you live and I won't know where I live either.
You live with me, but only
yes,
Ashley.
I would come. Yeah, I would come live with Ashley.
I only have room for one person here.
So you lose, Jeff.
You can live with Andrew in his three people already there apartment. Like, I also don't completely agree with Jeff's metaphor, but like, whatever.
Is it even a metaphor, though? It's like, it's literally racism.
It's different.
It's like, if
elitism.
It's more speciesism, like, and
that's not even it. It's complicated and
imperialism
and racism is complicated. It's not really imperialism.
It is so much more extreme than the way that most racism manifests in our world, right? Like the way the human and the digital world are separated is much more separated than any cultures are in the real world.
Yeah, like I just don't really want to put these two things as equivalent.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I hope you understand when I say there's a metaphor analogy, it doesn't mean they're equivalent. That means that there are interesting similarities.
Mm.
But that's a natural tendency. Anytime anyone says you know, blank is similar to blank, that people assume you're saying blank is equal to blank. And it's really hard to resist that tendency to think that similarity is equivalence.
I don't see it working quite the same way as racism does. And we're done with this topic.
We're done.
I mean, I think that's what I'm trying to convey is that, like, this is not how these issues would play out if that is the thing.
Yeah.
Which, I can agree with that.
So Japan and racism.
I think there's also something weird about it being characters that are named Chinese being the ones who are racist. That also seems troubling to me. But there's also the fact that, like, in Japanese, in the Japanese version, all of the sovereigns have Chinese names, whereas in English, Chuchaman's the only one that really retains a Chinese name. So it seems like it's just the Chinese one in English, but in Japanese, they all are. Like, even Azulangman is Qinglongman, so, like, not quite as...
No, I think they are doing something with it there, because, like, why make Henry's family Chinese on purpose? But
I think it's interesting to, like, incorporate other cultures and show what it's like as a half, what the term is.
Sure. But I think that's where... I don't know. That's where they could have done more with racism rather than this.
Yeah, I feel like it's never really brought up that Henry's...
No, it's never brought up.
I mean, maybe it's...
Well, not in the dub, anyway. Right.
Yeah, maybe it's brought up in subtle ways that are kind of easy to remove for the dub, but I haven't noticed it in my reading the notes, the differences.
Okay, wait. Why did they change the name of the other three sovereigns to something that are equally hard?
Oh, I don't know.
Actually, I don't think they changed the Baihumon.
Yeah, they didn't change Baihumon, but that doesn't, like, scream Chinese to us as Americans.
And actually, Ebonwumon is also...
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. I know that it's I think, like, I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's like Shan Wumon. It's a Chinese word for black, which they changed to, like, ebony.
Oh, so they, like, changed half of it to reflect the English word for black. Oh, that's great.
It's a Shen Wumon. Shen Wumon. That's just how the katakana is. I'm not sure if that's anyway. And Chuchaman is retained. So, yeah, there's a weird dynamic in English of it only being one being Chinese, or very clearly Chinese. Anyway, Andrew, I haven't heard from you while you're still there.
I died.
That's unfortunate.
I thought you already died.
Die, Anu.
Wrong holiday, buddy.
That was a couple months ago.
Yeah, it was a couple months ago.
That's for Easter, right?
Yeah.
So someone replied to the Digimon Kramers saying, "This is worse than if you painted a mustache on the Mona Lisa."
I don't agree.
I agree.
The thing it mostly reminded me of was the that, like, person who retouched the painting of Jesus.
Yeah, right.
That was supposed to be a what's it called?
Restoration.
Yeah. Ash, this is a random Jew question.
Okay.
Jesus Christ Superstar, is that a Christian musical or a Jewish musical?
Both.
What do you mean?
Okay, I've never seen it, but I assumed it was, like, more made by and for Jews than made by and for Christians.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh.
It's not, like, you know, this is what Christians believe thing. It's who made it?
I guess I figured it would be, like, sacrilegious to Christianity.
I mean, yeah. But Prince of Egypt is sacrilegious to many Jews. Andrew Lloyd Webber made it.
So isn't it the same people as the Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat?
Is the same person. Yes, but he's also the same person as Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
Evita. Like, he's made a lot of musicals. I don't think he's Jewish.
I guess I may just be merging with Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat in my mind.
Well, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat was probably made for both Jewish and Christian audiences.
I always forget the Christians have that too.
Yes, they do.
We have all of your stuff, and then we just made up more stuff.
you actually have a lot of our stuff that we don't have anymore, which is amazing.
See, we're great.
Let's see.
We need all the stuff.
So
controversy, that's what I'm looking for.
I was thinking this because in Orphan Black, there's a, like, subplot where they are, like, there's a local community theater doing a production of Jesus Christ Superstar in a church and, like, with support from the priest or whatever. And I'm like, well, this seems sacrilegious. I'm confused.
It's a little sacrilegious because the musical doesn't really portray Jesus as the Son of God, really.
Oh.
Seems pretty human.
That's an important detail to the story.
Yeah. I mean, like, they don't say he's not the Son of God, but, like, I wouldn't say it's for Jewish audiences. I would say probably it's for secular audiences.
It's for the rock audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're talking about the 1970s.
We are talking about the 1970s.
Wait, it was a concept album first? What does that mean?
It means they made the music first.
Okay. Next ad. Sorry for that tangent.
No, I mean, I love Jesus Christ Superstar.
You can just shorten that to I love Jesus Christ, and then you'll be Christian.
I mean, he seems like a chill dude.
He seems fine, whether he's the Son of God or not, you know? Like,
he said some things that were questionable, but, like, you know, who hasn't?
Is it time for Bad Animation Reaction Corner?
Sure.
It is if you say it is.
I'm going to post these in the recording chat in Slack. So this first one is from, these are all from 37 actually. This first one is from the beginning where they're like looking at the bridge and trying to assess out how to go and stuff. And just look at Lopmon's eyes. Lopmon's eyes are just like, are so big and...
She's an Esper.
A what?
You people and your lack of Pokemon knowledge.
That's a Pokemon?
Yes.
Esper.
Wait, I'm gonna link it. I'm gonna link it.
Oh, I thought you were talking about actual Espers. Like,
yeah, well, that's what I actually.
I mean, that's what Esper is.
No one's reacting to Lopmon's giant eyes.
Yeah, because what's to react to?
They're creepy. Mm. Okay, and the next one is, it's like soon after that, and they're saying goodbye to Susie, or yelling at Susie to do what they want or whatever, and Tarryman's in the background, and just look at Tarryman's eyes. They're like dark pits that your soul can be sucked into.
He's my favorite.
Okay. Even when he's going to suck up your soul?
Oh, especially then.
Okay. This next one is, I think, yeah, it's also from 37. They're all from 37. And it's just when Kazu and etc. are there left behind, and Kazu's talking to Garjamon. And again, look at the eyes. It's all the eyes. Garjamon's eyes are just like...
I thought that's just what his eyes looked like.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't sure. Like, I don't know. Like, I guess so. Maybe it's the first time I actually looked at them very carefully. But, like,
I've never seen him up close. Or if I did, I wasn't, like, paying attention. Yeah.
I guess they're just googly eyes or something. Like... I guess I should have mentioned before this that, like, we have all these images in the show notes, and you can go to pytages.com/310 to find them. And the last one actually was more fun than I was. But it's when Rapidmon is fighting Chuchamon for whatever reason, and he gets, like, hit against the wall, and it's kind of hard to see without zooming in, but, like, his eye, it's just, like, whole thing.
His face gets all weird.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm declaring the first iteration of the Bad Animation Reaction Corner a failure.
I don't really know what you expected.
I don't know.
This has never worked.
I feel like it's occasionally I have really fun reactions. Occasionally. It did not work here.
I think the thing with Garjamon's eyes is that normally his eyes are towards the top of his head, and so it looks really weird when he's looking down at Kazu.
I'm trying to look it up. How do you spell Garjamon?
Without the G, I think.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, you're right. The eyes, you only want to see the bottom half of the eyes.
I said without the G and you agreed with me.
Wait.
I was like, what?
Okay. There's a story. I thought the answer was that a U. That's what I heard, was that a U.
That's what I meant.
But that's also not how it's spelled.
Oh, really?
It is spelled just like guard.
Oh, that's lame.
That's lame. Wow.
Without the G. Guardramon.
I was like, what G? I was like, what G is there beyond the first G? But I didn't say anything because Jeff was like, oh, you're right. I'm like, what? Clearly Jeff knew what was up. So I was like, okay, that's fine. Okay, great.
RDD?
Sure.
You can talk.
We don't have to.
Okay.
I'm crying. Okay.
I don't know what happened.
I'm in a box.
I'm in a box.
I know now, okay. Without a doubt, Kingdom Hearts is light.
All right. I'm good.
Got it memorized?
I'm not.
Oh, no, I broke Ashley. Hey, Ashley, you know what time it is?
No.
It's almost that time of year.
No. I knew this was coming.
It's always beat the heat in Japan.
It is really hot in Philadelphia.
It's really hot in here. Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I'm actually not wearing a shirt right now. I have not been throughout the entirety of this podcast.
Wow, that's so hot, Asher.
Yeah, it's actually very warm. All right, sorry, I'm alive.
Wait, Ashley, what was the thing that happened a couple days ago where, like, I was asleep on the couch and then I just, like, there were people cheering outside and I, like, woke up and was like, what's going on?
Oh.
What was going
on? No, we won the basket hoops again.
When was this? What day was this?
I don't know. Huh. NBA Finals. Did we win all the basket hoops yet? Like, why hasn't this happened?
That was weird and wrong.
I see, Jeff. I see.
I want to cut out what I said. I just think of the reaction.
You can't. You're keeping the...
No, but I want to leave in the reaction. And
No. You have to leave in what you said.
Jeff, for you. Ew. This is what you're into, Jeffrey.
What did I literally just miss?
I don't want to repeat it.
Jeff made an inappropriate comment about tween girls.
Okay, I'm glad I missed it then.
Okay. Okay. Just like girls, to steal my quotes, Ashley.
Do you want me to repeat what you said to Andrew? Because I will.
I mean, what I said on its own is, like, not that bad. It's only in context. I mean, the words were just...
No. I would explain.
Like, there's not that much, like, wrong with the words.
Don't. Just don't. Andrew, go.
Let's do the arc wrap-up now. I realize I think I have to go to is I need to be there by 7, and I'm like, oh crap, that's actually not that much time.
Wait, where are you going?
I have to pick up my badge by 7.
For what?
For WWDC, the Apple Developer Conference, starting tomorrow.
For a second, I thought you were going to E3 or something.
Yeah, I'm just driving to LA. Recommendation articulation, where we each go around and share something that we've been enjoying recently or not. Do I want to recommend people?
Are you really sticking with that particular name for it?
Sure. I made that full list and you all hated all of them, so.
The older ones were better.
Plug your hug.
Never mind. Oh, bad.
Let me go through one of these. We used plug your hug, plug your tug. No, I think we canceled that one before it got out to the world.
Because it's bad.
Sounds so dirty.
That was why.
Just how I like them, Ashley. Oh, God.
Jeff,
you know, maybe I'll leave that in here, and then people will like be able to piece it together, what I said, but like... Okay.
You're never going to guess what you said.
Snug as a plug in a rug. Praise your craze. Praise your gaze. All right, that was bad because it sounded
like... That was the one we definitely said no to.
It's written with a Z and an E.
And nobody can hear that.
What about some other ones? Like, suggest your best. Suggest your quest.
Forget it.
It hurts so much.
Shouldn't have said anything.
Recommend your mend.
What?
Plug Lord.
No.
Oh, God. That's so dirty.
Exalt your vault.
What's wrong with you, Jeffrey?
Endorse your source.
No.
Shill your pills.
Please stop.
Recommendation irrigation.
What? Let's go with that.
Recommendation flirtation.
No.
Recommendation dictation.
All right. I'm going to start timing.
Okay.
Share the podcast with your friends who... Wait, let me read this.
Share the podcast with your friends who would read it? A Turan?
Share the podcast with your friends who... Why did you say that?
Turan?
Share the podcast... Your turn. Share the podcast with your friends who would ride a train for 3 hours to help a friend.
And remember, never stop digivolving.
Never stopping.
Except now.
Yeah, I'm going to start recording.